B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Everybody, happy Thursday to all across the Delaware Valley. Man, what a bizarre, weird, you know, sometimes the longer you live, you realize how crazy the planet is. As it was just bizarre yesterday and today, it's even worse as the Canadian wildfires conspire to put us in an orange, like, soot fog. It's just crazy. Just that soot fog that we're in. And, of course, Phillies canceled a game yesterday, which is smart. I don't know how in the world people could argue about air quality. Like, you know, you should be outside. All of our, like, our town, Little Leagues, and all that stuff was canceled last night because you can't have kids out there in this. You can't have people out. Forget about kids. You can't have anybody out here in this air quality. I'm watching it drop by the hour on the iPhone. It's bizarre. Never seen anything like it. And then, I don't know about you guys, but, like, a couple times, like, I'm spitting up stuff. You're going, oh, my God, that stuff's in your lung? It's awful. So just be careful and don't go running outside today. Like, you know, keep it indoors today. Couple things I want to get into. And you saw the news about Chris Paul and, of course, Nuggets win, roll last night. I had a feeling Nuggets would roll last night. And I do think they're going to win the series. And you know, Miami probably wins another game. But I still think Denver takes the series. So you saw Chris Paul got released. Is he a guy? And you know what's amazing? So he's going to get released. There's talk. They might try to trade him. I don't think they're getting any takers. So he gets released. If Harden goes back to Houston, do you bring Chris Paul in to play so Maxie kind of can play off him a little bit? Now, the only worry about Chris Paul is, and I don't think it has to do with him, but the number one stigma is there. It's amazing. Like, that number one thing, that stigma is there. And you almost need to protect Joel at this point. You need somebody that's won. I do believe that you need somebody that's won it. Well, we'll see what's going on because the NBA silly season is already. All the rumors are starting, the whole thing. You know, Harden is torn. And I just assume, go, James, listen, it was great knowing you. Just go back to Houston. Now, if you get it for 2 years, I still kind of am hoping that he would go back. And there's something about it. And I know this year will be tough to replace him, but I think I'd be okay with, let's see if Maxie has that next, that another, you know, floor on the way to his ceiling. Like, does he have more room up here to grow, to become a star? I'm fine with letting him find out. Maybe you tweak a little bit, and then you go in for that last free agent next all season when everybody's there. I kind of think that would be my favorite course of action. So we'll talk about your favorite course of action. I also need to do something today. Ode to a running back. Ode to a running back. This is sad, man. Dalvin Cook is being released by the Vikings. And it just goes to show you how devalued running backs are. And I want to talk about our favorite running backs, when running backs ruled the league, because it used to be a running back league. And now, you know, there's Dalvin Cook. You already lost Belly Shirt, right? Belly Shirt, Zeke, was a disaster. And then he gets released. Dalvin Cook was a great back, just got beat up. And then you, teams don't want to pay you if you're a back. We saw Eddie George. He looked great. And all I kept thinking about is, man, that's when running backs were running backs. And they were a linchpin part of the team. So a little ode to the backs today as well. Lots to do. We're just getting started. Judas!
Hello. Good morning.
How you breathing?
I'm not well, for sure. I went to the Wawa down here on Belmont, right near the studio. And in the 15-second walk from my car to the Wawa, my eyes started itching and the throat got scratchy, which is just insane to me.
I haven't stopped sneezing all morning.
It's crazy. And poor Coop's coughing, right? Geez, here we go. And he hasn't even been outside that much. Right, so now it's like, geez, I mean, it's probably a window somewhere where it's creeping through. Yeah, right? Older house, it's gonna happen. But yeah, I'm hanging in. It's terrible. Don't go outside if you don't have to. I mean, I'll just leave it at that. It's, you know, you don't have to overthink it. It's terrible outside, and it'll go away soon. So it's not COVID where the world's shut down. Right, just chill out for 2 days, and then hopefully the smoke's out soon, and we'll be good. But man, I've never seen anything like this.
No.
I remember the California wildfires. Remember it went north and then the winds blew it back down over here and there was a bit of a haze for like a day? But it was a bit of a haze.
Well, the scary thing about those wildfires were those people that were in the danger zone.
Oh my God, yeah. I can't imagine.
There were neighborhoods, and I mean, you want to talk about scary, like... The thing would just go up. Now, this is bizarre, and it's just wind carrying this thing down here. But like you saw the ballpark. You couldn't see. When I was driving home yesterday, you couldn't see the skyline.
Yeah.
Our skyline.
This morning, I couldn't see it at all. I saw like the outline pretty much, yeah. And that was it. You couldn't see the skyline from the Waltman Bridge. It was just insane. And there was one, you know, air quality report yesterday that New York City was the worst in the world, worse than Dubai, India, which, yeah. You know, the air quality there is terrible. And we now have it worse throughout the United States. Like, well, that's crazy.
Well, it's all because of stuff. And it's highly toxic. It's just bizarre because it gives you that almost post-apocalyptic feel to
it. Oh, my God, dude. I was staring at the sun yesterday, which actually wasn't a good idea because it was really red and bright and burning my eyes, but I couldn't keep my eyes off it. Like, this weird red sun through the smoke.
Yeah. It was bizarre. You see, there was a picture, speaking of New York, of the ballpark, of Yankee Stadium or whatever. Yep. And it was just...
Did you see George Washington Bridge?
No.
That literally looked like a movie. It looked like people were making jokes about Gotham City, Batman, Dark Knight. Like, it looked like that.
Yeah, that's insane.
Like, it's, you know, it's real life.
It's people were complaining about games being canceled.
Yeah, I don't get it. If the Pirates want to play, well, you know what? Sometimes take it out of their hands. All right, it's one day. Phils are back at it tonight. They had a day off today anyway, so it's not like they missed time. So they'll be able to play today if the weather's fine, if the air is fine.
Yeah, like I don't think it's a big deal to cancel a game.
No.
If the air quality is like it is.
If I had tickets last night, stuff. I wasn't going.
No, how could you
I'm not going
out?
To that, no.
First of all, how could you, and then if you were taking kids, how in the world are you going to sit out in that weather, breathing in all that stuff?
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that. It's terrible.
Can't do that. It's horrible. First of all, it's not enjoyable. You spend. I walked, I don't know, 4 blocks yesterday, right? So I'm limping down the street, and I you know, you just, it's like in your taste bud, like in your mouth, like you taste it. When you're breathing that air, you almost taste it. It's horrible. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so stay inside if you can. Of course, Alfie makes a good point. There's people that have to work outside.
I know. Which, well, you know, and if that's the case, I would, if a job site's got to make sure that people
take care of it. Yeah.
It's bad stuff. It really is. It's bad stuff out there. Hey, dude, so Dalvin Cook gets released.
Yeah, it's crazy. Extremely talented. Like you said, just gets banged up. And even last year, when he was healthy, he was still putting up good numbers for the Vikings. The guy was just banged up.
It's just amazing to me how we've just seen that position die.
Yeah, and it really isn't that long ago, right? You know, you go back to the days of Deuce, and you know, you mentioned Eddie George, who we saw at the Brian Dawkins Foundation. My favorite player, non-Eagle, growing up, I actually have his jersey, Kansas City Chiefs Priest Holmes jersey. It's buried somewhere in the closet. He was my favorite player as a kid. And it's just a running back that they fed the ball to over and over and over again. You think of Edgerrin James, and then, of course, you think of the era before them, where it was 3 yards
and
everybody
had
dust.
A back.
Right.
Everybody had a back, like the pronounced back.
Before they make the trade for DeAndre Swift, they were going into the season with Penny, who is often injured, and Kenneth Gainwell, and Boston Scott. Like, these are just... these are guys. And you know what? The Eagles' offense would have been fine.
Well.
Swift is just, you know, an embarrassment of riches at this point. But back in the day, you needed
their line is certainly good. And then you have the quarterback that really helps the run game. So I think the Eagles are unique. But around the league, it's amazing how devalued the running back used to be. A fun guy, like, you know, you're watching Terrell Davis go for 200. There's something about when a running back gets hot and he's grabbing 5, 6, 8 yards a pop, right? Do you miss that?
Oh, of course. Of course I do. I mean, it wasn't that long ago in the Eagles Super Bowl run, LeGarrette Blount could go through those moments where Blount would grab 5, 6 yards per carry. And then, of course, they had the rotation. They had, you know, Darren Sproles when he was healthy, and Jay Ajayi, and Corey Clement. But, you know, like you said, it was a lead back. It was a back that touched the ball 25, 30 times. And it was 25, 30 carries.
No, it was carries.
Yeah, now it's touches. Right now it's Christian McCaffrey. He may now run 15 times, yeah. But he's catching the ball the other 10.
You know, I'm curious. I want to get into a little philosophical football conversation. If you missed a running back, now you wouldn't even. It makes no sense to draft a back that high.
I watched recently, random stuff pops up on the timeline. Jerome Bettis highlights. The bus. That's not happening anymore.
No. The bus. Oh, the bus was nasty. Love the bus.
And you're not drafting backs high anymore. Or it's considered a mistake, like Zeke and Saquon.
Yeah.
As talented as they were, well, Saquon back at it last year, but as talented as Zeke was in his prime, it still sets you back a little bit.
I know.
Bijan going 8 was high.
It was high. It really was. And
we were talking about trading back to the teams for
Bijan, right? Bijan is a stud. Like, if this was at 1984, he goes number one overall.
Right, exactly.
Like, that's how that was. They would go high. It's unreal. All right, we'll come back. Lots to do. We're just getting started. We're going to have some fun with you guys. Also, if you have ever, like this extraordinary weather is just weird, right? So today we're going to discuss, I want your stories of weather, Mother Nature encounters. If you've encountered something that was extraordinary.
I got one for you that left me bleeding.
All right. Well, I gotta hear about this. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Cuz Radio with the Chunis. We're just getting started on a Thursday.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. All right, welcome back. 1022 across the Delaware Valley. Cuz Radio Tunis. Did you watch the game last night?
I watched the third and the fourth quarter. Saw Jokic get his triple double, and I'm done.
Yeah, it was not. You know,
it's just a reminder.
Listen, and I thought I told you yesterday I thought Denver would win. I want Denver to win because I want it to deeply impact Joel. Do you think he gets the message? If Jokic wins,
I'm not sure, dude. In all seriousness, I'm not sure. I don't know if he's watching the finals right now and getting motivated. Because he probably looks at it and goes, all right, yeah, we have two different styles of game. The ball runs through both of us, but they rely on me to score, whereas Jokic also is, you know, point five.
I wonder
point
if he
five.
Thinks about it. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Is he thinking about it?
I'll say it this way.
I'm just saying, I hope so.
I'll say it this way. I'm more happy if the Nuggets win because I don't want him to have the Jimmy Butler feels. Like, oh, man, they made a mistake getting rid of him. Oh, I would love to go play with him.
Yeah.
That's the bigger one, honestly. If he sees Jimmy win and they still have that relationship, I feel like that would actually be worse.
I don't know. Well, maybe.
I don't know if he's going to get motivated by Jokic. He's like, I want MVP.
Well, no, I think he should get motivated by Jokic.
He should. Like, I don't know if he
like,
will,
I
though.
I think he should be like, you know, he should take it personal. That Jokic won.
Yeah, and then he goes, look at the team that he has. He's got better pieces around than I do.
Ah, come on. That's a cop-out, too. He might, you know, Murray, I go Murray over Harden, all right? Agreed. And Porter over Tobias. But it's not that far off. It's not like Denver's got a super team.
No, they don't.
You know, I mean, they're going seven deep. I mean, the kid act played well last night, Braun, but other than that, I mean, you know, they've been stick with the same rotation.
I just don't know.
It's not a completely superior team. Like, so
no.
If I'm Joel, I go, I don't want to sleep at night. I can't. If Jokic wins, what's the MVP mean?
Oh, it shouldn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things, but I just don't. Look, I don't know how he's built, right? I love Joe. I love how talented he is. He's a great guy. We've had the pleasure of talking to him in person, right? But I don't know if stuff motivates him like that. I really don't. I mean, the guy didn't show up to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals and then complain about not getting the ball in Game 6, final 5 minutes. He didn't go after it. So I don't know if him watching Jokic win is going to motivate him.
Now, here's what I think.
He's crying, walking off the court against the Raptors, and we're thinking he's going to come back the next year with vengeance, and he actually moped the entire season. His worst year was the year after the Raptors series.
But he did improve after that.
Like, I got to wait 2 years?
What's that?
I got to wait 2 years?
Well, I don't know. Again, I'm just telling you that of the last 2 years, and really last 3 years.
Yes.
He's gotten better. Like, he took another leap. Right? He took another leap. So, again, do I think he... I don't know what's in his head right now. I think he was, we always talk about maturity. We always talk that, remember,
when he's growing up, his father's a general in Cameroon, right? And so he's living in a palace. So I'm sure his experience was not like many other people.
Right.
He goes into the game later in life, comparatively speaking. And I don't know, is he part of him, you know, pouty, mopey? Like, we talk about that. You almost want him to shake himself out of it and go, look, Jokic, he's going to win it. I got to get mine. You need him to take ownership like that.
Oh, definitely. And I'm sure there's got to be some bit of a rivalry that he feels, you know, because it's the last two MVPs that he didn't get, and then he wins this one. But if Jokic wins the NBA championship, it means more than winning the MVP award. Or maybe he doesn't even look at Jokic that way. I mean, obviously, he was a little bit more motivated that night they played Denver. He goes off that game to make the statement. But then remember, not that I cared, but he didn't play him the second time.
Well, that was a bad schedule. It was
I know. But what I'm saying is I don't know if he looks at Jokic as like this guy that I need to be better than.
All I'm talking about is a title. All I'm talking about is I want him to go, I want to win a title.
I hope he's built that way.
I mean, do you really believe he's not? Because that would say something.
I don't know. I don't know if he's sitting back. You know, he might be at his house in Margate, you know, right? The shore house. Or he's out in Europe somewhere. He might not even be paying attention for all I know.
See, that to me was Simmons. You know, I got to believe that Embiid's eating his heart out a little bit. And I know I would be.
Honestly, I think Simmons watched, but then pretend that he didn't. I think he hate watched. That's why he posted the screenshot of the Celtics winning Game 7.
No, my point is I don't think Simmons, like, cared. Like, it didn't affect his pride. Embiid, I wanted to affect his pride. So you're telling me, and you believe it has no impact, which means he doesn't have that kind of pride. Right or wrong?
I mean, I'm not saying he's not a prideful guy. Obviously, he's taking a lot of stuff to heart to get better 3 straight years. And we've talked about how much better shape he's in, all this kind of stuff. But I don't know. I don't know if he goes, damn, Jokic won. Next year's my year.
Well, but there's a, like, again, I don't know the answer. Because people are already saying, well, if Jokic winning doesn't stick in his craw, then that's telling to me. Then he's indicting himself. I don't know. Again, I don't know what's inside the guy. People make judgments. I don't know how you make judgments. My buddy Embiid does not care. I mean, how do I know that? How do you know?
Right.
He told you at the press conference. Did you get that from his press conference?
No, there was the quote that was taken out of context about, you know, me and James can't do it alone, right? Everybody's got to get better. He also took some blame himself. I think the biggest thing is that he didn't really put himself out there as a guy to be blamed for this series.
Yeah, like
I'm still waiting for one of those stories. Jake Fisher, Ramona Shelburne, something. Sat down with Joel Embiid.
Here's what I need from him. I need to hear from him right on how he feels. Listen, everybody could be right, and he may not care. I don't know. I don't know the guy that well. I know him to sit down. Hey, Joe, what's happening? I don't know the guy. Like, what's in his heart? What makes him tick? I just know how kind of we would feel. We would be eating our heart out.
Yeah.
If Jokic was winning.
Like, you say you want Jokic to win because of that reason, but you don't actually want to see Jokic hoisting the trophy. It's going to still hurt when you see him do it.
Well, no. I mean, what's the difference between him or Jimmy?
Well, either one sucks, really.
Well, that's my point. Somebody's got to hoist it.
Right. It's either so him, it Jimmy, or the Celtics.
Like, whoever hoists the trophy, I'm not watching it, by the
right.
way.
Right. I got you.
Because I'm a petty watcher. Like, for the finals, I never watch the celebration. I don't like watching the celebration. Because if it's not our team, what do I care about the celebration? Unless there's a personal reason, like you know the people. That's about it. Do you watch the celebration? Like, will you want, like, I will not watch
no.
Nuggets or Heat hoist it.
No, I'll watch the game come to an end. That's it. If I even watch the game, that's the other thing.
Yeah, so you're on the fence whether you even watch it.
Yeah, right? Like, I didn't watch the first half yesterday. I wasn't clamoring to watch it. Christy went to bed. I put it on. Watched the majority of the third quarter and some of the fourth quarter when the game was out of reach. I said, okay, that's it. And honestly, if the Phillies were on yesterday, I don't know if I am watching it.
Yeah, the Phillies are only watching the Phillies.
Right. I'm watching game, 62 of the season.
I was talking about this the other day, Monday. You're out. I watched the game Sunday night, and it was good ball, man. Like, I can't say it's not good ball. It was good ball. But I'm so unenthusiastic about it.
Yeah, I mean, dude, watching Jokic, it's actually extremely entertaining.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there was a play yesterday in the fourth quarter that I think Jeff Green missed the layup or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope missed it. One of the two missed the layup. And it was just a play where Jokic sets a screen, they give it to Jokic, and then Jokic makes this no-look bounce pass between two defenders to the streaking Jeff Green or KCP to the layup. He missed it, he got fouled. And I'm just like, man, what a pass. Like a pass that I expect James Harden to make, but this dude's 7 feet tall. He's actually a marvel to watch. But I also got hate in my heart for the guy and for the Nuggets and for the situation. Everything about it. Heat Nuggets. Like, it sucks. I'm not taking joy in watching it.
You got hate? Do you have hate for Denver?
Not like Boston and New England and, New York. Like, not that kind of hate. I don't want them to win, but I don't want Miami to win. Like, it's one of these, you know, all right, which way would I rather die?
I don't have any. I really don't have much hate for Denver. And I actually think Denver is the less offensive winner.
Well, yeah, if it was Boston.
And by the way, the Miami, come on, they come late to the games. That kind of crowd's at? It's a transient place. The people in Denver never won. I'd rather see them win. If you go fan v fan, I don't know about you. How about you?
I guess that makes sense. Yeah, Heat fans are fake.
And Denver people, I mean, you never won.
Right. Yeah, the Broncos way back. Well,
but you never won an NBA title. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, well.
They've never won an NBA title.
It's not like 40 years is great. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, that's
40 freaking years, man.
Yeah, you know what? When you put it like that.
They've at least been to the Western Conference Finals a few times. This is 22 years, man.
I can't cry for the Mile High folks.
Yeah, what's the difference between 40 years since your last one and never winning?
40 years, dude. 40 years.
It's like saying you want a hockey team to win their first cup. It's been 50 years for the Flyers.
Right, what's the difference?
Right, sucks. It's not like the Flyers won 5 years ago, and I go, good for them. They got the first one.
It's pretty amazing that these teams that, you know, Sixers, Flyers, that you're looking at 90 years between the two of them.
Yeah, amazing, right?
That's unbelievable. 90 years. I mean, they're going to
be. You know how many players you've watched? Think of all the crap players, good players, players you got excited about. All these players that you've watched put those uniforms on. for nothing.
I was thinking about that. When AI's Hall of Fame.
And he went through all the teammates.
And he was talking about his teammates.
Yes. Guys who loved, guys who hated.
All these dudes, right? And just the type of slop.
Yeah.
I mean, you could argue. Could I argue? Let me see. This exercise. Can you name more than 25 Sixers that you liked?
25 Sixers that I've liked?
I mean, over the whole time.
That's a good question. I mean, like, you know, Iverson. I did like Mutombo, right? Even though I understood the trade and why people didn't like it.
Well, let's go with just the fan like favorite, the obvious. Iverson, Cheeks.
You got to put Joe on there.
Embiid.
Doc. Are we going since 83?
No. Well, do it since Wilt. I don't care.
Well, you know.
It's basically about the title.
Am I going Dolph Shays here, or am I going?
It's basically, it illustrates what the last 40 years have been like. Tony, right? The Moses, Bobby Jones,
Jimmy. Even for just half a year, Jimmy.
I mean, yeah, he doesn't belong on the list. He was only here for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, but people liked him.
Doesn't matter. He was only here for 15 minutes. You have to have been there a little bit, because this is going to illustrate how rank and stank the 40 years have been.
Yeah, and a lot of these guys would have been here for a long time, like Doc, like Charles Barkley.
Charles. Because if you go through eras, you'll have team seasons with a team where you didn't like anybody.
Right. Or you're going to find a team that you really liked. Like the Flyers, like you had Lindros and LeClaire. Like think about those teams, man. And what did it amount?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I could say the same thing about the Eagles, but they finally won in 2017. And because it's not that long ago.
Yeah, but you know, here's the thing, though. The Eagles, whatever you say, I mean, they have established themselves as the gold standard. Yeah.
Okay.
One of the most controversial quotes in the history of this town. I mean, it was infamous. It was right there with for who, for what. It was small market. And when Jeffrey said, we're the gold standard, and people went nuts. Gold standard? What? They went nuts. And rightly so, because they had not achieved that. But here's the thing. 20 years later, they became the gold standard. I mean, the Eagles, who does it better than the Eagles now?
Oh, nobody.
Now that Brady's gone from New England, and if you have Andy, you got to count Andy as part of the Eagle thing. Because Jeffrey's the one who gave him this job.
Yeah, if you're going since 2000.
Who does it better than the Eagles? Is that unbelievable?
No, your teams that you'll maybe consider are like a Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Steelers came to mind. Well, it is kind of interesting. Now, meanwhile, look at the list of Sixers. Like, Sixers that you genuinely loved. Iverson, Cheeks, Embiid, Irving, Andrew Toney, Moses Malone, Bobby Jones, Charles Barkley. Who else would you put? Like, you genuinely loved. And they have been here for a little bit.
Well,
like, can we get to 25?
Like,
this
personally,
isn't 50 years of the franchise.
I personally was a big fan of Andre Miller, but I don't know if he's a fan favorite.
No, I mean, Andre Miller. Nah. I can't go Andre Miller. I'm going to put Maxey up there. He belongs. I mean, I genuinely love Maxey. I actually want to see Matt if Maxey can take a next step, too. But can we get to 25? That would say something.
Probably not, unless you're going like little engine that could, TJ McConnell. Like, people did love TJ.
Right.
But, like, TJ's not Dr. J.
I mean, it illustrates the length of time. When you go 40 years, this illustrates it. All right, 610-632-0975 is how you join us. I want to get some running back talk, too. That's another position that we were never great at. The running back.
Jimmy. You can come up with the top five. Running back, fills outfielders, linebackers, wings in the NBA.
Shady Westbrook. Well, we got to do it. Wilbert. Because we're doing the ode to the running back, the disappearing position in the NFL, or the faceless position, because they still want to run the ball. They just don't want the 30 carry guy anymore. King Henry is extinct. Guys, ready with the tuners right here on a Thursday.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. 10:51 across the Delaware Valley. Tuners, this is bizarre, right? Because people are chiming in. We're talking about the Sixer thing. And it's amazing throughout the years. Like Dawood said, so if you got 15 guys on a roster, right? Because I bet you a case of beer, you couldn't fill a roster of players that we love in caps over the years. So the I think the criteria is you love them and they are legit players, like rotational players on a winning team.
Right. So, wow, would you put TJ on that as a 12th guy on the bench?
No.
Okay.
So I think no TJ.
So you're going starting five and what? You want to go three guys off the bench?
Yeah. I mean, just over the course of, like, Iguodala. I guess, man, you got to put him on there, right?
I don't know. Was he beloved?
Well, but Iggy was a good player.
Yeah, he was a good ball player, but was he beloved? I don't know. He leaves here, he starts winning championships with Golden State.
Right. I mean, he just was miscast as a one.
Yeah.
He's a perfect role player on a championship team. He's a winner.
I mean, your five is what? It's Cheeks, Iverson.
Cheeks, Doc. Iverson, Doc, Tony, Bobby Jones, Moses, Embiid, Charles, Maxey. That's where you're at.
Right.
Now, I don't know. You got like Lou Williams.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm trying to think of guys that were, you know, somewhat good ball players and then played a little bit of a role. Because if you go into the 90s, I mean, yeah, nothing like, I mean, Weatherspoon.
Right.
Clarence.
Hersey Hawkins.
Right.
Johnny
Those
Dawkins.
Are the guys you go, Hersey Hawkins, really? Was he a beloved figure? Was Spoon a beloved figure? Like, I know we talk about them, but,
right,
you know. Well, that's why when you say 40 years, I go, damn.
It hasn't been that great.
Damn. You know, and when you say 40 years, I go, really? Has it been that long? And you go through all those rosters? See, the problem is that once AI kind of rolls, you don't have a lot on, right? after AI.
Oh, well, no. I mean, you got some. I mean, you got Drew Holiday.
My man Ace goes Doug Collins. The problem, and as a player, yes.
As a coach, no.
As a coach, no. I guess McGinnis, if you're going to go back that far, too. But that kind of says something, no?
It says now, that it hasn't been all that great. And that's why they haven't won in 40 years.
Okay.
I mean, that's the other big thing, right? It's more shocking that the Flyers haven't won 50 than the Sixers not winning in 40.
Yeah.
Because you know,
you can look at the Flyers, those teams, they should have broke through more than the Sixers did.
Definitely. It is more shocking that it's been 50 years for the Flyers.
I mean, you go back, you had Lindgren. So go back into it, right? So take the 80s decade. First of all, they were in the Cup in 80 in the finals against the Islanders. And then they're in the Cup in 85 and 87. Against Edmonton. They were a good team. You had Hextall, Tockett, Zezel. You had that 80s. I mean, they were good. They were good. I mean, the whole decade, they were a good team. 90s, they're bad the first part of the decade. But then you get 88, and then you're back rolling. You're in the finals in 96. You're buzzing around. I mean, it goes back to that, and then you reach the no goalie period, which is fascinating because you had Bernie and then Hextall,
right,
and Pelly for a short period.
Yep,
and so you were stacked at goal, but then when you look at it, I mean, you're right. How did they win? 2000s, they were buzzing around.
Yeah, and like with dominant teams, like very, very good hockey. Now the Sixers, it's shocking that they have not won post-process. But you take
it's shocking that they haven't gotten out of the second round.
Right, well, that's a big one. But you take the Iverson run, everything but the chip, you take that one run out of it, you haven't even buzzed.
Now do you count, now Matt gives you Aaron McKee.
Good ball player. I think a lot of it is we love him because of his relationship with Iverson.
Yeah, I still say no.
I mean, a great sixth man,
is Aaron McKee a top 15 in the last 50 years?
I mean, he might be because we're talking longevity too. So you're taking Butler out of it. You know, is JJ Redick on it? He's around for a few years.
Yeah, but
people loved him.
Yeah, but top 15 in a franchise?
I mean, it's been bad. Are you putting Mark Iveroni on there?
No.
Right, exactly. Now, he won.
Okay, but he was just a role player.
Right.
And one that was...
You go, Tony Kukoc?
No,
he was actually, it sucked. So maybe Redick might be top 15 last 15 years.
No, there's no way J.J. Redick is a top 15 Sixer. There's no way.
In terms of talent and being beloved, which a lot of people
rank
loved him.
Let's rank him. Iverson won.
Iverson won, no question.
And B2?
I don't know.
Barkley. Doc. Okay.
Yeah, that's your first.
This is
four.
From Wilt on. Like, you can argue the order any which way you want.
Right.
So, Iverson and B, Doc Barkley, Moses. So, there's your five. And then look at who you would have.
Tony.
Andrew, who was hurt.
Right.
Mo Cheeks. And then I have Iguodala. And I don't know if you're going to count Lou Williams, Witherspoon, Hersey Hawkins, Doug Collins.
Like, nobody calls up and goes, man, I miss the days Hersey Hawkins was here, with all due respect, if he's listening. You know, people call up and talk about Doc. When's the last time somebody called in and talked about Hersey Hawkins?
Wow, my man Vinny loved Hersey Hawkins.
Oh, there's one.
He's top 15. Wow. That's an indictment on the franchise.
He might be.
Hersey Hawkins is a top 15 player? Is he a top Hersey Hawkins? I mean, you know, a nice player. You know where he went to school?
No.
Bradley.
How about that?
I don't know why.
You know. put Daryl Dawkins on there?
You know, Daryl Dawkins was, he had all the ability in the world to be great. He was big. He had a little bit of a touch. He was a monster. He could jump. He was like an athlete. But he was really immature. Like, just didn't let the game come in. But now I was really small. So I don't, you know, it's hard for me to say. But again, top 15? I mean, you're basically saying third team all-time Sixer.
Man, it's not that great when I see people walk around with Boban Marjanovic jerseys at the Wells Fargo Center. Like, it really hasn't been that great.
My man, the Boss Horror, gives me Dana Barros.
Oh my God.
That's no good. All right. We'll get back to it. Open the vault, Junis.
You know, when we began opening this vault nearly 2 hours ago, we had no real idea what we'd find inside. As it turns out, we haven't found very much.
The vault brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
We'll start with a Phillies memory this day in history, and I'm trying to find the exact year. It was in the 70s, I believe. It was the wild game when the Phillies come from behind and beat the Pirates. Remember, the Pirates were up 10-0 after the first inning.
And that's when
the announcer
says, I'll walk home.
He'll walk home. So here is him making that statement and the Phillies' miraculous comeback to beat the Pirates.
Well, a leadoff double for Randy Reddy.
Well, I'll tell you something right now. If we lose this game, I'll walk back to Pittsburgh.
You'll have to.
I won't have to, but I will.
Right center field, the ball is gone. The Phillies quickly get two runs back in the bottom of the first inning. Jelts with a drive to right center. Ball is gone. Jelts with a two-run home run. Pirate lead is now 10-6. Steve Jelts gets only his third career home run.
Drive to left field. Bonds is back to the warning track for the wall.
Jordan with a ground ball through the middle. Quiñones cuts it off. It's 11-10. The ball game is going to be tied. Ground ball up the middle. Lead off his glove. One run scores. Coming around is Grenier. He'll score. Through the third, not in time. Phillies lead 13-11. Fly ball into left center field. John Kruk over. He's there. The Phillies bounce back from a 10-0 deficit. They beat the Pirates the final 15-11.
1989, my apologies, but how crazy is that, man?
Wow.
10-0.
Wild.
And then they come all the way back like that. And I love how the crowd's getting louder and louder every single time. I can't imagine how many people stuck around for that one.
That's wild.
Your thoughts on Steve Jelts getting a curtain call?
I mean, Steve Jelts was the worst. I hated him.
I know you weren't a fan.
He was a horrible shortstop. Horrible. And he was the king of the sky pop-up. Like, He'd go for the fences. Like, he was terrible. Jelts.
They got the curtain call that night. Big comeback for the Titans.
That was the worst thing he could do was hit a home run.
Right, because they thought he could do it again. Yeah. We have a birthday to celebrate today. It is Troy Vincent's birthday.
And Aikman under pressure. Look what happens. Steps up. He's picked off by James Willis. He's going to run out of the end zone. I need somebody faster. There's Troy Vincent. Look at Nate. 2-8. Can't get him. Nate Newton. Whoop. Whoop. Hey, I can't get him. Don't tell me Vincent's going all the way. A play that combined went 102 yards. Touchdown!
That was in 1996. Oh,
dude, that was the best.
An iced pick six against the Cowboys.
That was the greatest.
Really, really cool moment. So happy birthday to Troy Vincent. Now we have a fight.
Real quick, is there anything better than the lateral?
Oh, I love the lateral. Like, when it works out well. Oh, yeah.
After the some sort of turnover, and then you get the lateral. Because the buddy teams were big with that.
I love the lateral, and I do love the block by somebody on defense, which makes me think of the NFC Championship game. The Patrick Robinson pick six, and he gets the big block by, I think it was Ronald Darby. And you go, oh, there you go. Guy on defense knows how to hit. So, yes, the lateral and the block on defense, I love. They're little things in life. In 2002, we had a boxing match to play here. Here's the intro to the heavyweight battle between Lennox Lewis and Mike Tyson.
Let's take a look at the tail of the tape for this world championship heavyweight bout between Lennox Lewis and Mike Tyson. Lewis is 10 months older than Tyson. Tyson will turn 36 at the end of the month. And it's Lennox Lewis enjoying a 6-inch height advantage and a 13-inch reach advantage. When both fighters stepped on the scales, Lewis weighed nearly 15 more pounds than Tyson. Incidentally, both camps expected their fighters to come in at about 5 to 6 pounds lighter. Apparently, there was a problem with the scale.
Now, do you remember this fight?
I was at the fight.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
What year was it?
I think it was 2002.
It was 02? No,
they were older at the time. Yeah 2002. No. It was in Memphis at the Pyramid Arena.
Oh, really?
Yeah, how about that?
Look at that.
So here's some of the action from the fight.
Tyson knows he needs a knockout to win. He's never had a knockout past the seventh round. Lennox Lewis, triple Mike Tyson with a big uppercut, and Eddie Cotton separates the fighter.
He's called it a knockdown.
Seven.
Thinking that Tyson's knee touched the canvas. I'm not sure I saw that.
I don't think I did either, Larry. Lewis unloaded. Lennox Lewis trying to finish off Mike Tyson with 1 minute left in the eighth round.
Mike Tyson highly motivated to come into this fight, hoping that this fight would redeem not only his career, but his whole life.
Oh, he's doing a good job. He's got hook. Yeah, you can't take that hook.
Bring back memories.
Yeah, no, Lennox Lewis, man, he was a
just
we got a bunch
of punches. I was watching.
Yeah.
All right, I got two more for you. Now this one,
I love when you're going boxing, dude.
Oh, well, I mean, it's great. You know, I appreciate the sport. Just wish I got to really enjoy it more.
Yeah. Well, now we learned yesterday. Yes. Phone booth fighting?
Yes.
Or hockey fights?
Hockey fights. We got the slap ice, the slap ones.
The ice fighting.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of ways to watch violence. I'm going to play Nolan Ryan here, breaking the all-time Nolan strikeout Ryan record. And then I'll explain why I did it, because I couldn't find the actual highlight I wanted.
Here it is. He strikes him out. Second time Blackwell has struck out, and that's the fourth strikeout of the afternoon for Ryan, and he has tied the all-time strikeout mark in the major leagues. Number 3,508 Bryant is being congratulated by his teammates around the infield. The 1-2 pitch, strike, three called on Mills, and there's the record breaker. So Ryan strikes out Tim Blackwell to catch Walter Johnson, and he strikes out Brad Mills to own that record all by himself.
Now, the reason why I played it, Ant, was obviously we know Nolan Ryan is the all-time strikeout leader. On this day in 1977, he struck out 19 batters when he faced the Blue Jays. That was the fourth time in his career he struck out at least 19 hitters in a game.
Oh, my God.
Like, think about that for a second. 19.
19.
Guys don't go five innings anymore.
No.
And he strikes out 19 for his fourth time in his career.
Yeah, that's
like,
wild.
That's just pure dominance that we're never going to see that ever again.
We're not. Well, the issue is you never see pitchers like. I guess it can never go back, right?
No, they're never going to go back. If anything, it's going to get worse.
Well, I don't know how. Again, nobody goes the distance.
Like Wheeler the other two outings ago. Great against the Braves, right? 12 strikeouts.
Yeah, but dominant. And I brought this up when you were out.
Next right? outing.
Yeah, he gets rocked by Washington.
The Nationals, 7 earned runs. Like, yeah. What? Like that's dude, and think about pitchers. How about that Alek Manoah with the Blue Jays?
He was great. Now he stinks.
They sent him down to low ball, like not even AAA.
Yeah.
Like that's wild to me. He was dominant last year. He was dominant in the All-Star game.
The Astros buried him the other
day. Yeah, but it was even before the Astros. I mean, the guy he's been getting beat up all season long. It's just crazy. So just wanted to pay a little homage to the dominance of Nolan Ryan. Now, last thing, this is...
I got Nolan Ryan in the tough guy.
Yeah, man.
In the Bad Mother Fathers.
He beat that one dude up. Made him unplug.
He did.
Yeah.
No, and he was a tough. He was a tough guy.
Yes, he was. I didn't want to mess with Nolan Ryan. This one
and,
is.
And by the way, he talked about superhero. He could throw the ball 100 miles an hour.
That's true. That was
before the quick gun.
Right.
Type of thing,
right. Exactly. You know? He was throwing a legit 100. On this day in 2020, and it. It's wild. Not that what we're dealing with right now has anything to do with the pandemic. But it's crazy right now, right? Like, for the first time in years, you actually don't want to go outside. Today in 2020, New York City reopened, Ant, during the pandemic. Now, of course, we remember how crazy it was, you know, doing the show with no sports. And obviously, New York City was a little bit crazier than other cities in America. So here was, I think this was NBC reporting the reopening of New York City in 2020.
A slow start to New York's morning rush as the city becomes the last place in the country to begin reopening.
It's nerve-wracking, but I'm excited and, you know, looking forward to a little back of normalcy, I guess.
Some 400,000 workers can now return to jobs in construction, manufacturing, and retail with curbside pickup.
It's been pretty bad, yeah. I'm not going to lie about that. I'm smiling underneath this mask, if you can't tell.
One huge question, will New Yorkers feel comfortable enough to return to the city's mass transit? Ridership had dropped nearly 95%. Officials now trying to convince the public the system has never been so clean. Masks are mandatory and available for free.
It's safe to ride the subways and buses, and that's the case we're going to make to our customers.
The toll from COVID-19 in New York City has been staggering, nearly 22,000 dead. But last week, for the first time, a day when no one died from a confirmed case of COVID-19.
How crazy was that?
Dude, that's wild. You playing that. It's insane.
3 years ago today, man.
I was just having this conversation. How wild. We're still not right off of that.
No. There have been people that have not recovered from it.
Well, it was so traumatic of a... I mean, life stopped.
Yeah.
And look, we were talking about restaurants and all. We talked about this the other day about prices. Remember we were talking about prices?
Yeah, and how much things have been affected because of it.
And how nothing came back down.
Right. Yeah, it's wild. We had 3 years
ago. I was thinking about it yesterday. And you know what's funny that you played this? I was thinking about it yesterday because I was down South Philly and I had a meeting and I was looking at people on the street and everybody had masks on.
Yeah, they're back.
Because, and you have, listen, with this air quality, I mean, you know. But that's the first thing I thought of. It's just wild.
Yep. Good to be back.
Yes. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975 is how you reach us. Well, is it possible that Maxey is a top 10 all-time Sixer right now? Is that possible? Think about that for a second.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.23 across the Delaware Valley on this smoky Thursday. Across the Delaware Valley. Cuz Radio with the Tunis. You mentioned Nolan Ryan. So I started building out our Bad Mother Fathers Athlete Edition. So I just scratched a bunch of names. You ready? Okay. Kermit Washington, I brought him up. He's the one who broke Rudy Tomjanovich's face. Rick Mahorn. Marvin Barnes. Did you ever see him?
Yes, yeah, so you had me look him up yesterday.
You can see he's a bad dude, right?
Oh, yeah.
Bad News Barnes. Bill Laimbeer. And Dominican Sue.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, Dominican Sue would have to be a... He would be a bad mother father on the sports list. Zeus.
He was stomping on people.
Right.
In his younger years.
I got Zeus, Orlando Brown, Andre Waters, Dennis Rodman, John Runyon, Nolan Ryan, Kurt Angle, the wrestler, broken neck, the whole thing. Jack Youngblood. So Jack Youngblood was the linebacker. Do you remember him?
No.
So he was like a great player from the 70s, Jack Youngblood. And he played a whole game on a broken leg.
Oh.
Can you imagine that?
No.
He's not the line, he was defensive end. He played for the Rams in the 70s and the early 80s.
That must have been terrible. Sure, he got shot up with a few things.
He played a game on a broken leg. Think about that for a second. A broken leg, dude.
Yeah, and you're trying to get push off the ground.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, you're trying to get some good bend.
A good bend.
I guess you can bend a little bit more if you're... Leg's broken.
Yeah, dude, Jack Youngblood. Somebody pulled a gun on him, and no fear. Ronnie Lott. You know the story about Ronnie Lott, right?
Yes, yep.
He amputated his part of his pinky.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible and terrifying.
Like on the side of the field. They just hacked it off, and they just went, instead of cut me, Mick, hack it off. I want to get back out there.
I got a name for it. I don't know if you put this one down, just because I know the stories. What about Derek Burgess?
Oh, yeah. Burgess is a good one. He was a bad dude. Even Trot. Trot.
The vets were scared of him.
Trot was like, I told you the story with the chicken.
The chicken, yeah.
So if people didn't hear it or didn't never heard the story, they used to get the rookies to go on a KFC run to get the chicken. And before, you know, it was like one of those before they leave for the plane, the rookies had to go get the chicken. So Derek Burgess was like, I'm not getting the chicken. No. And they're like, well you got to do it. You know, they're starting to pressure him.
It's part of your initiation, Derek.
Right? And he was just like, I'll bleep up anybody. No, I'm not going. And then Trout was like,
"This is a rookie."
Yeah, Trout was like, "No, man, Burgess ain't right."
I remember, don't mess with him.
We used to do the show together, and we used to Trout and I would do a show. It was hysterical. Me, Trout, and Ike would do this show, and Trout, he used to make me laugh. Burgess ain't right. Burgess, he ain't right. He got that dog. He ain't right. You know, and everybody knew it. They were like looking at him going, yeah, you know what? Well, let's just skip it. Let's skip Burgess to get the chicken. Look at other guys that get the chicken.
Right. Send the kicker out.
I think what he did was, too, he went out. You know what? I think what he did was he went out. He got chicken, but he got like a two-piece for himself.
That's awesome.
Which is even better.
Right.
Right? Like, not only do I not get any chicken, but I'm getting myself chicken, and I'm going to eat it in front of you. That's a bad motherfather.
I'm sure nobody said anything.
No. That's a bad motherfather right there. Burgess. Derek Burgess.
Would you go?
Ron Artest.
Oh, yeah.
Albert Bell.
Yeah, we played in the vault the other day. The stiff arm.
Yeah, he was tough.
Breaking up the double play.
He was nuts, Albert Bell. Plus, he did something to a bunch of kids that were trying to go trick-or-treating.
Oh, jeez.
I think he threw something at him. I don't know. Something crazy. Charles Haley is a good one, Chris. That's a strong one. Chris on Instagram goes, Charles Haley. He's a bad mother father. There's you got to think about them. And then yesterday, of course, we went over all the...
Oh, dude, James Harrison.
Yeah, James Harrison. I put Vontaze Burfict on there, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He's nasty, dude. That's when things changed.
Yeah, I was a Burfict man. I used to like watching him, but he was nuts.
That's when things changed.
Yeah.
Remember the hit on Antonio Brown?
Yes. Yes. Vontaze Burfict. He was nasty.
People correlate that to Antonio Brown, you know, off the
reservation.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Burfict was nasty. And then all the hockey guys.
You got Ray
right?
Lewis. He killed a man, allegedly.
Yeah, but I, you know.
Oh, no, sorry. He was found not guilty.
Right. Then I got a bunch of hockey guys, right? All the goons. Because you got to put the goons in there. So you had Frank the Animal. You have Brashear. Right?
Yep.
Ty Domi. You got to put Schultz in there.
Yeah.
Don't you? I mean, beat up everybody. Hammer.
A damn record about it. Yeah. And I mean album record.
About the penalty box.
Yeah.
Dude, the penalty box. That's awesome. That's awesome. So, and I know I'm missing a ton of goons.
Oh, you Carcillo.
Car bomb. There was the Flyers had a guy, Dave Hoida. And Dave Hoida was a goon.
That was his role.
Listen, dude, he could barely skate, this guy. He was, people loved him. They used to have his jersey. Like, there were Dave Hoida jerseys out there. Yeah.
He beat the crap out of people.
Right? They were Dave Hoida jerseys. He was a nasty man. And that was the heyday of the goon. the goon would come in, man, and you know, like, it was bizarre, right? Like, they would get on the ice for a shift, and it was just a matter of seconds until the goon got into a fight. Think about that for a second. It's one thing if the guy's a really good hockey player, but he's also a tough guy. But the goon who had no skill but could only fight was the protector. Imagine that as the role. Like, we're joking about the hockey fights and the ice fighting that Bundy told us about. But that was legit.
That was actually a role back in the day, yeah.
I mean, that was legit. I mean, how crazy is that?
Yeah, imagine getting paid to do that. Sounds fun.
But it was amazing because people loved it. They loved it, Junis. Now, you can imagine the Flyer crowd, the Spectrum.
Oh, my God.
It was like medieval.
Yeah, you're on top of the ice.
Right. It was like a medieval that people, all of a sudden, the fights would break out, and you were right on top.
Now, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
You put Bird on the list.
Larry Bird?
Yeah, or any of those guys from the Celtics.
No. As a bad mother father? Not as a player. I'm talking about as a goon type.
They got
bad mother.
They got their share.
That's not about the game.
They got their share of fights.
Nah, Bird can't make this list. Is Bird a
I'm asking you. Like, I didn't live it. I'm asking you.
No.
Put his hands around Doc's throat, dude.
Okay, well, you know. I don't think that's worthy. I don't think Bird makes a bracket of six, a field of 64. We haven't even got. I had 10 wrestlers yesterday.
Right.
Even the boxers. Like, I got the Hagler, Tyson, Ali, Frazier. You know, that's a whole other, you know, that's a region. The fighting, you have the boxing and then the wrestling region. Gabriel's good. Gabriel goes Charles Oakley. Oakley was tough. He was a bad mother father. Oh, yeah. Chris goes Ben Wilson. Have you heard the legends of
Ben
Wilson?
Yeah, we had that guy call in yesterday.
You, Ben Wilson was nasty. He used to go after his own teammates in practice.
That's awesome.
Like, he was, guys didn't want any part of him. And he wasn't a bad player. It wasn't like he was a bad hockey player either. But boy, man, he was crazy. Ben Wilson. Wow. He was bad. He was a bad dude. That's nuts. And then you got B-Dawg. I got Andre Waters. I mentioned him. Would you put Dawkins there?
Yeah, because I wouldn't want to get hit by him, but he also wasn't going to fight you afterward. You know, he's going to say hallelujah after he hit you. Or the KO Spikes. You put the KO on the list. I ain't messing with the KO Spikes.
You ever heard Jack Tatum?
Yes.
You know what they called him? One of the greatest nicknames ever.
No, what do they call him?
How about that? The Assassin.
You're probably going to be a bad dude to get that.
Dude, the Assassin. I mean, and that was where there was no protecting anything back then. With that Raider team. I mean, they were nasty, dude.
Not many baseball players make the list.
So I was thinking about that. Oh, we only have two. We have Albert Bell and Nolan Ryan. Is there any other baseball players that you would compete for this list?
Can't really think of it. I mean, obviously there's guys that storm the mound, go after the pitcher, but
I mean, Clemens. I mean, I would put Johnny Mars up there. Johnny Mars is a tough dude. He was one of the toughest baseball players. But there weren't any, you know, those baseball fights. They weren't really fights.
No, they're fake. It's homie back fights the entire time.
I actually think that works. That there's only those two. Unless we're missing someone. I can't think of anybody.
Hey, think about it. The most heated it gets is yelling. Right? You yell at the umpire. You get in the face of the umpire. Or you throw a baseball at somebody's head 100 miles an hour, but you don't have to really be a tough guy to do that.
Right.
You know, anyone can do that if that's throwing that hard.
Yeah, I can't do that. Here's some good ones off the text board. Xavier McDaniel. My man Pat, Rob Ray. They made the fighting rule about him. How about the big unit, Steven wants to know.
Frank?
Randy Johnson?
Oh, Randy, sorry. I mean, he's scary. But like,
He was a scary looking dude.
Yeah, but was he beating people up? Like, no, he's striking guys out.
Well, but he was 6'10".
Yeah.
I almost think he belonged, 6'10", who could throw a million miles an hour.
Whoever he faces in the first round is a favorite minus 10,000. Randy Johnson's not, you know.
You don't think so? 6'10", dude.
He might strike fear to a hitter, but he's not striking fear to Tyson.
Oh, he's 6'10". He's got to be, you know, he had a...
All right, Sean Bradley, 7'6".
Right. No, Sean Bradley. 6'10". No, but Sean Bradley was a stick man. If you look at Randy Johnson, I mean, he was a big boy. And he had that face. Like, he had an ugly face. Like, a scary ugly face. Unruly. What do you think?
Yeah.
You're not afraid of Randy Johnson?
I would be if I was hitting against him.
No, I'm saying, what if you got into a beef with him? You're not,
he looks like a nice man. He's enjoying his photography life now. Nice man.
Really?
Yeah. I go Pedro ahead of Randy.
No.
Threw that poor old man to the ground.
No. You can't go Pedro over Randy. I mean, Randy Johnson was it? You really have no fear of Randy Johnson,
no.
Huh?
Oh, because I don't look at him as a psycho.
Because he would kick your ass.
Yeah, of course he would. A lot of people could kick my ass.
Well, Randy Johnson, that's my point. You don't think he's a tough guy, huh? He's not a bad motherfucker.
Nah. There's definitely more crazier baseball players. Who was the reliever? There was a guy, 80s, who was always talking to himself on the mound. He had the big mustache. He had like one good season.
80s?
He would always throw the ball into his mitt and then turn around to face the batter.
Al Raboski?
That might be it. Hold on. Let me Google.
From the Cardinals?
I think that's who it is.
Al Raboski.
Yes, yes, Al Raboski. Like, that guy would freak me out.
Yeah. Al Raboski was a mean-looking dude.
Yeah, like, I'm not messing with Al Raboski.
Yeah. That's funny. I remember that. How'd you know him?
I follow all these old baseball counts and football counts and, you know.
Al Raboski.
I didn't remember his name, but I remember seeing that.
He had like a big mounded shoe.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, like, I'm not messing with him.
And he had the big bushy mustache. He looked like a biker.
Right. Randy Johnson walks up to me. I'll say, oh, it's all right, man. I really like your photography. And he'll say, oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Whereas Al Raboski's going to, you know, kick my teeth in.
He'd be spitting at you, like spitting tobacco juice
at you.
Yeah,
like, come on, man. It's not even close. It's not even close. He takes down Randy Johnson, two punches.
Hey, right, woman.
Yeah, exactly.
Raboski. 610-632-0975. We'll open up the phone lines as we have some fun on this Thursday. Since we're all inside today because of the air quality, we'll try to make you laugh a little bit. Screw around.
The Mad Hungarian was his nickname.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, you're a mad Hungarian.
Yeah, come on, man.
Yeah. Now Roboski's a good one, cuz. That's actually a great one. 610-632-0975. Do you know Ozzie Virgil got shot and he wore the bullet?
Yeah, he wore the bullet. I remember
around
he told
his
me
neck
that. Yeah, that's
kind of chain.
That's tough.
That's a bad motherfather right there.
Yeah, that's tough.
Ozzie Virgil. Anybody who gets shot and wears the bullet around their neck, I mean, you know. Guy's pretty tough. 610-632-0975. Cuz Radio. Shoot us. Shoot us. 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello.
All right, welcome back. Buzz Radio Tunis, 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, we got a lot of people we're going to get to because you're opening up the phone lines. And I know a lot of people are coming in, too, with some bad mother father suggestions from the athletes. I know Mike Smith hits Jack Lambert, which is a good one. Alan says Rick Mahorn. We got him. Tyler says Kimbo Slice. He should be on that, Tunis.
Yeah, his
Kimbo
anniversary of his death was this week or last week, because I saw it in the vault buried in there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's crazy. I just heard his name just the other day.
Brian is spot on. Bob Probert. Do you remember him?
No.
You don't remember Bob Probert?
No.
He was a good player, but he was a nasty hockey player for the Red Wings. Probert. Wow. That's a bust out. Let's go to Aaron. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Aaron.
What's going on, Aaron?
What you doing, buddy boy?
Hey, man, running out the truck, man. I just be helping, and helping my,
You got the mask on? Be careful today, man.
Yeah, I'm out here in these streets, man, because I'm a bad mother father.
Yeah, you are a bad mother father in these streets with... How bad is it?
No, it's not bad. It was worse yesterday for me. It's a little better.
Yeah.
But Ant, man, you really make. I love you to death, man. But I'm trying to pick 25 Sixers that I beloved. I can't even find 25 of them.
Dude, we were talking about 15. I mean, Max, he's top 10.
It's bad, man. So it's bad ownership, bad drafting.
It's just over the 40 years. But if you go 40 years since the title, right? I mean, you got Iverson, Barkley, Doc, Moses, Embiid, Cheeks, Andrew, Iguodala.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. I mean, you got to really go deep in. Are you going to count the Hersey Hawkinses and the Witherspoons? I mean, Clarence, really?
But look what I was going to do. The people that they should have drafted, I was going to say I love them, like a Brad Gordon or something. You know what I mean? I was going to
say
crazy. You know, it's just like it was bad, just drafting bad, all that. It was just. I don't know, man. But we got a lot of team. It's like somebody that's in your family you don't like, but you love them. So it's just like I don't know about the Sixers, man. I told you, I just don't know. But the running backs, I want to talk about that. Man.
Yes.
Like an 80-yard run is one of the best things you can see in football.
Yeah, somebody I like the 80-yard run. Yeah, I agree.
Somebody breaking it for 80 yards, right?
Yes.
And they trying to take that out of football. It's about throwing. It's about the fans.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, people, you listen, when the aerial game explodes, I mean, that's, you know, because for every 80-yard run, you got 50, 3 yards in a cloud of dust plays.
Right. But it's so enjoyable to watch somebody break some runs and go.
No, it's fun. I agree.
Billy Sims, you ain't got Barry Sanders. You ain't got the, it's just It's
yeah, I mean, you could actually close your eyes, and great call, Ar. You could close your eyes, and you could think about, you know, Barry Sanders reversing field. Marcus Allen against Washington in the Super Bowl. Reversing field and busting it for 80. In case you missed it, we're doing that, well, a lot of different things. We got bad mother fathers we're talking about. We're just talking about the roster over 40 years for the Sixers and trying to get the 15 truly beloved, you know, all-star type of caliber players. And then we were talking about the running backs because Dalvin Cook has been released by Minnesota. And it just goes to show you how the running back is just completely devalued.
Yeah, and it's amazing, man. It could be, think of a guy like Jordan Howard, right? The Eagles make a trade for Jordan Howard, final year of his deal. Oh, well, you could just run him into the ground. You're not going to bring him back after this year.
Yeah.
Like, think about how awful that is, right? A running back is on the final year of his rookie contract getting paid no money. Oh, well, I mean, we could just use him a lot this year. Not going to pay him the big bucks. Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
You know, they used him a lot last year.
Yeah.
They did not bring him back. Now, Carolina did pay him. He got a decent contract from Carolina. But I don't think there was ever in the plans for the Eagles to pay him unless he took a team discount.
No, they were never going to pay him.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't have paid him either.
No, neither would I have. But it's just, it's the nature of the sport that's kind of awful where you can literally run a guy to the ground in the final year of their deal, unless it's somebody that, like a Christian McCaffrey, where you're going to continue to build your offense around a guy like that. But you don't care how many touches they get. You're not bringing them back. You'll just draft another rookie who's going to cost you close to $1 million, if not less.
Yeah. It's wild. I mean, look at Detroit. Now, Detroit drafts, and it's funny because of the whole situation with the running backs and everything.
Yeah.
Right? So you get Jahmyr Gibbs and the whole thing. But you know, they took Swift high, and they didn't use him. They had like three backs last year, you remember?
Yeah, I mean, the Jamal Williams thing was crazy. The guy was like, had what, 15 touchdowns last year?
Yeah.
They would just use him in the red zone and let him go to work, and that was more of an old school running back, if anything.
It's completely wild. All right, let's get back to the phones. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bri,
what's going on, guys?
Yo, what's happening, my man?
The Kimbo Slice fight when he fought the Boston cop, that makes you like never want to get into a traffic argument. Never get in a fight again. I don't know if you ever saw that fight. It's just 9 to 11 minutes of them just punching each other in the face.
Yeah.
And they're big boys. You know?
Yeah, and just going head to head.
Yeah, like two cavemen.
Yeah.
Like someone just dethawed them and put them into a ring.
They got dethawed. Oh, my God, that's awesome. Do you imagine life back then? That's why you talk about survival of the fittest. If you're going back to those days, you better have some girth on you, man.
And you better have some hands, and you better know how to use them. I remember, because you're like a year or two older than me. So, like, my older uncles and cousins, they were Schultz Brown guys. So I was Brown, and then Berube, right? Like,
oh, Dave Brown.
We were Brown Berube guys, but I was more of a
yes.
He was more, you know, when I was getting, you know, approaching high school.
And who you like better? Who'd you like, Berube or Brown?
Well, I liked Berube, but then he got smoked. Remember that fight when they?
Yeah, who beat him?
I think it was against the Penguins. I can't remember. It was a Penguin, and he just destroyed him. And I remember all my old cousins and, you know, the next party. Like, how's Berube? You know, he's not Dave Brown. He's not Schultz. You know, we thought he was.
Yeah, wrong. Dave Brown was nasty, dude. He was a great fighter.
Is Domi? Did Domi make the list?
Domi's on it. Yeah.
How about baseball, Candy Maldonado?
No.
Do you remember him in that brawl?
Now that you bring it up, that's a good one, Candy Maldonado.
That's probably the best punch I saw a baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, baseball player. Yeah, you're right. I mean, the only baseball players who made it so far, Randy Johnson, Albert Bell and Nolan Ryan.
What about Mitchell?
Kevin Mitchell?
Yeah.
He was a big dude. Was he a tough guy?
Yeah, I believe so, from what I've heard. Yeah.
Kevin Mitchell,
him and,
huh?
Him and Candy Maldonado.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Now that you say that, I think you're right about that. Yeah, Kevin Mitchell, that's a bust out, dude. That's why you're the best, Bri. It'd be with Candy Maldonado and Kevin Mitchell.
And I will say this about the list. That, like, everybody would lose to whoever wins the box. There's no chance. Like those guys, you throw them in the – I know you took the MMA guys out. And, like, you know, the younger guys have a little disrespect towards boxers. You know, if you teach Marvin Hagler takedown defense, he beats just about every MMA guy.
Because
it's a different – you're comparing different eras.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no such thing as choking people. If you choke someone at a playground in the 80s, like, the whole playground would, like, ostracize you.
You're
now
right.
Now that's, you know, they have, you know, arm bars and leg lock. It's just a different, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you were not allowed. That was against the code.
Way against the code. If you started choking someone, people would thought you were an alien.
Now, you're right. In a schoolyard fight, you could really, the only thing that was acceptable was a punch. Like, you get away with, like, a knee or an elbow here and there, but really it was just a punch.
And you were supposed to let the guy up.
Yes.
You weren't supposed to finish him. I mean, that was...
Right. Right.
That was...
You're right. That was the code. Now. You're right about that. It's lawless now, Bri. No good.
It's lawless. And as far as MMA guys, not many can throw a punch either. And I'm not taking anything away from them. I'm not saying, if you ask me who I'd rather... You know, tussle with, it's probably a boxer, but, you know, just because I don't want my leg broke or my toe broke or, you know, I don't want to be...
Yeah, well, those dudes are nasty guys. Those guys are tough guys, yeah.
They are. But, it's a good... And for the running backs, cuz, I miss the running back. We talked about this like 100 times. I just miss it, you know? And I would say that if you asked anybody, I would say that they're probably the toughest guys, any running back. You know,
the linebacker.
He's the most athletic guy probably in the world, right?
Right.
NFL running back.
Yeah.
Like, you could train that guy to play any sport.
Yes.
You give him a basketball, you give him a soccer ball, you give him a volleyball, whatever it is. That's the guy.
Yeah, I agree.
I just miss him. I miss Barry.
I miss it too. I miss when they mattered. Like, I miss guys getting 25 carries. Do you even get the 25 carries and, he's weakening the defense. You know the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a savings account. You only get back yield what you put into it. You know, like all those old cliches.
Those days are done.
They are. He's tenderizing the defense.
Hey, Jalen Hurts closer to 25 carries than any of the running backs.
I know.
Now, a couple of baseball suggestions. The D-Train comes with Adrian Beltre.
Yeah, somebody else did too.
I remember people. Remember, if you touched his head, he would freak out.
Who, Adrian Beltre? Really?
Yeah. If you touched his head, he didn't like it.
I kind of forget that.
It would scare him. And then our man John DiCarlo checks in. He goes with Rob Dibble.
Oh, that's a great one. Somebody else did that too.
6'4", 250.
Rob Dibble. Yeah, that's a great one.
Wasn't afraid of anyone either.
Yeah. Yeah, Dibble was awesome.
I'm just trying to think of the crazy relievers, right? Because the relievers are the crazier ones.
Yeah.
Right, like, they're the psychos.
But, yeah, you got to be insane.
Right.
Jibs was that guy. You're right. That's a good one. That's a good one from John. The Pirates had a guy named... The Cobra, Dave Parker.
Yes.
He was pretty nasty. And he'd come in, lefty.
He was a real Cobra.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not like Carson.
Yeah, he did not. I kind of regret that one a little bit.
I'm trying to, did you go Schlereth?
Why?
Yeah. You know, you just go all over himself in the middle of the game. Stink.
You got to talk.
I had to do it for you. He's on the line. It makes it pretty tough.
I'm sure he's a tough guy, but, listen, You got to differentiate yourself.
Okay.
By defecating in your pants during the game.
What about Urlacher?
Eh.
Eh?
Eh.
All right, what about
Urlacher?
Allstott.
Eh.
Just trying to think of these big dudes.
Yeah, Urlacher, I guess, would come close. There had to be other, like, nasty middle linebackers.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking of neck rolls and...
Yeah.
Blood coming out of their nose. John Favreau played a good linebacker once.
No, he didn't. He sucked. How about, let's go to another Brian. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yo, Brian.
What's going on, boys?
What's happening, Brian?
Yo, I got one. I haven't heard you say it. He might be on your list, but I got to take you on a walk back to the mid-80s, all right? Mid-80s to 90s. The puck stopping. Ankle slashing. Chris Chelios, Felix Potvin killer. The last great goalie to wear orange and black. Ron Hextall.
Ron Hextall. That's a good one. It really is a good one because he was a slasher.
Oh,
and he was nasty,
God.
And he would fight.
He just waited for it.
He was a tough guy goalie.
Oh, loved him. I was born in 79, grew up on Flyers hockey.
Yeah, Hexy.
Ron Hextall defined
the
bully mentality.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's a great one. Hextall, there would be no other goalie when you think about it. No other goalie.
No.
I mean, yeah, guys that were cheap shot. Who was Billy Smith? He was a goalie for the Islanders, and he was he'd hatch at you. But then that, like, Hextall was nasty, too. It was big. Yeah, I love that.
And they left it. And that was back when they could play. That was back when the goalie could take it up to the middle of the ice. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
He could throw down with anybody. There was no penalty. And he scored, right? I mean,
right. He scored a goal. That's right.
Thanks a lot, boys.
Good stuff, Ryan. Appreciate it. Well, he also would start, like, if you got him on, he'd start the odd man rush. Because he was such a great stick handler, he was a passer. So he'd spring you. Like, they had a play. Like, he'd spring you from center ice. He hit his man at center ice. Boom. Next thing you know, he got an odd man rush going. Hextall, Junis.
Yeah, I mean, just because he fought another goalie.
You say no? Come on, Junis.
Bigger fighters.
Hextall was, but he was a big guy. He was tough. Wielded a stick. You're not going to go Hextall? You're going to fight me on that?
I give him credit. He's a tough guy. And is he 64, dude?
Well, I got him down.
All time?
Ron
Hextall, all time tough guy.
I'm putting a list together. I'm just putting names down, and then I'll edit them. So I wrote a bunch this morning, and I'm going to try to edit it down. But Ron Hextall was a tough dude. I don't think you show enough respect.
I mean, you could probably come with more Flyers before Hextall.
Well, again, the goon. There's only the upper echelon goon is going to make the list.
Yeah, but then you also said Schultz. What about Bobby Clark?
No. Clark is not making that. He's a tough guy, but not like, you know. I mean,
so you mean to say like that you're going minimum
like
Broad
we're
Street
about
bullies?
Bad motherfuckers.
They're the Broad Street bullies, man. They took the Russians off the ice.
I know, but my point is.
Hey, you're going to give me Hextall.
Well, I mean, he was more. He was a bad mother father, Hextall. Bad mother goalie.
Bad mother GM, too.
Well, yeah, that's true. Let's go to Mike. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yo, Mike.
Yo, cuz. First time, long time.
Welcome, Michael.
Yeah, you got to go Bob Gibson, don't you?
Bob Gibson, going way back.
Yeah, he could barely see. It was like he was seeing blurs up there. He was just throwing.
Yeah, he was a tough dude. He was a bad mother father. It was before my time, but you read all about him and there was a legend there, Bob Gibson, right?
Yeah, they said I don't think he fought anybody, but they said he was like a boxer off the field too, so nobody wanted to go.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Hey, I didn't know that. Can I get a yo real quick?
Of course you
because
can.
We got a yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
Can I get a yo to the 9 new Falls Athletics baseball team? They start their playoff push tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. 9U? Your boy plays 9U?
Yeah, he plays third base. Yep.
Nice. It's the best, isn't it?
A lot of fun. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's the best. Me and Mosmo's 10U, so you're 9U. Dude, I don't know about you, but I look forward to the tournaments and the games.
It's unreal. Like these kids, they spend all summer together. You know what I mean? They're not caring about kids you never even met before. All of a sudden, they're like family. You know?
Exactly. Yes. And like you root for the kids to get hits and all this and that. You're spot on, brother.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Good luck on the road. You make a deep run. Good stuff.
Hey, real quick, just for anybody who's planning on going to the Phillies game today, the Nationals game has been postponed. Now, they were a 1 o'clock start.
Right.
Phillies not till 6:05, but I don't know if that's necessarily a good sign or not that they're starting to postpone games today already.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's bad. No way, no two ways around it.
Yeah, it's not good.
Air quality alert until tomorrow at 10. Oh, my God, it went down again. Do you remember what I was telling you, the air quality, how bad it's been going down?
Yes.
So it was at 376. Then it was at 350-something. Now it's at 222. Oh, man, that's bad.
Well, that's a good sign that's going down.
I thought the lower you get, the worse it is.
No. The lower is better.
Okay, that's good.
Playing golf here.
Look at the, yeah, it's bad. They should, listen, no problem. You cancel.
Yeah, and they already have the date planned out, June 22nd for the Nationals game, right? I get it. It's tough to reschedule games. And it's the Tigers. It's not a divisional game. I understand that, but come on.
Yeah, look at this. New Jerseyans, New Yorkers urged to mask up or stay indoors. It's that unhealthy.
Yeah, I would,
I mean, that's a screaming headline on the CNN.
You can stay inside. Feel bad Coop likes his afternoon walks?
Yeah, well, tomorrow. I'll be back at it tomorrow.
We'll be back at it.
Yeah. All right, 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Cuz Radio, the Chunis, hanging out on a Thursday.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
All right, 12:20 across the Delaware Valley. So, Ramona Shelburne from ESPN, friend of the show. We love Ramona. She's very tied in, very plugged in. Ramona says the Suns don't waive Chris Paul unless they feel pretty good about somebody else. And I want you to keep your eye on James Harden. I don't want to report anything, but that was in the wind. So Ramona Shelburne, keep an eye on James Harden to Phoenix.
And it's funny, a couple weeks ago when there was the report that Chris Paul could be done in Phoenix, and no, you know what? The report was James Harden had Phoenix on his list. Short list. It was Sixers, Rockets, and then there was Phoenix if they could make it work. And then there was a report that they may not want Chris Paul back. And then yesterday was the big one, right, where they were going to move him, whether trading him or releasing him. And so it made sense to maybe do a swap where Harden goes to Phoenix. You get Chris Paul here. You do some sort of sign and trade. And I don't know, you make it work where you get Paul on a shorter deal. Because he's 38. You're not going to sign him to a four-year deal.
Oh.
And now he's your point guard alongside Maxey.
Mm.
And he helps him grow even more.
So you got Chris Paul and P.J. Tucker pushing 40.
Yeah, that's scary. Unless you move P.J. to Phoenix. Yeah. I don't know what kind of deal you'd get.
Hmm. Interesting. I mean, I either Harden to Phoenix. So it's him and Durant are going to try again. Harden, Durant, Booker.
That's scary.
Ayton.
But that's Brooklyn all over again.
Yeah. And
how much ball goes around?
Well, that's the thing. You know what's funny? Because one of my guys on Twitter DM'd me about the Eagles. And he goes, if you're the Eagles, would you take a look at, it was Jared. He said, would you take a look at either Hopkins, Cook, or do a linebacker? And it's like, they're not going to sign Hopkins or Cook. There's just no room.
No. Unless you're getting Hopkins to a one-year deal and, you know, Devontae goes into the slot or A.J. Brown goes into the slot.
I don't see a planet where the three of them are on the same team.
And then you can't go Cook because you already have Swift, you have Penny. You know, you're not going to have a three-headed monster. We talk about the running back being devalued.
Yeah, yeah, I don't see that. All right, we got our man. Oh, terrific. Joining us from ESPN, ABC, we love him, hometown hero, hanging out with us today, the great Kevin Negandhi on the Comcast Business Hotline. Kev!
My man, how we doing, Junis? Hope everything's well.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, how was it? Do you have the bad air up there?
Yeah, we had to cancel a Little League playoff game last night. We don't know when it's going to be made up. So it's another day, but today I could start to see the sun. The Philadelphia region is literally like a half a day to a quarter of a day behind us. So, you know, basically tomorrow it's going to be a little bit better, and then hopefully for us, Saturday will be great, so I'm thinking by like Sunday you guys will be in the clear. That's how slow moving this thing is.
Oh my God. I guess it's getting a little better today, but still it's wow. It almost looks like post-apocalyptic.
It does. And you know what was weird here? So we haven't seen the sun in like 2.5 days, and then this morning you still have the smell and that little fog, and then it started raining, and I was like, this is crazy. Like, what is going on? So it's bizarre.
You had the ashy rain.
Yeah, it's really weird, man. And I don't know what the weather's been like for you guys, but like this past week has stunk, man. The 60s and like low 70s. Man, it's June. I want to be out by the pool and I want to feel good and I want to actually sweat outside. And that's been pretty annoying.
Yeah, it'll get there. You know that. It'll get there.
Hopefully sooner than later.
So we got a bunch of stuff for you that we got to discuss here. Number one, let's talk about what Ramona Shelbourne's reporting to watch Harden to the Suns.
Hmm.
What do you think?
That's fascinating. Well, listen, I think that's great for Phoenix. I heard you guys talk about it briefly before I jumped in. Listen, when he was with the Nets, he worked really well with Kevin Durant. And he worked really well with Kyrie on the floor as well. The problem was Kyrie just was a no-show, and Harden was like, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this back and forth, KD. That's your guy. I know you and Kyrie are tight, but I can't keep doing this. So that fit-wise, listen, we saw James Harden change his game specifically for Joel Embiid, and it worked out really well. He will do that because I think Devin Booker is a younger, better shooter version of Kyrie. Kyrie's like literally, you can say he's top two, top three ever when it comes to handling the basketball. His handle is insane. But Devin Booker, I think, is a younger version of what Kyrie can do, and he's going to show up day in and day out and put in the work with Kevin Durant. And I think that's all Harden wanted with Brooklyn.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah,
and you know what? Let's look into the idea. If that were to happen, it's just hypothetically, I'm okay with that. I'm okay.
Yeah, I am
with
too. Yeah.
I'm okay.
You know, you look at it and you go, let Maxie, like this year may be a little tough because, you know, you're still going to have to tweak the roster. You're not. It's going to be difficult to get another big player in here, but maybe Maxie takes another step, and then you got the, and then you get next year you get the big free agent class next year.
I completely agree. I think I would imagine Tobias. We talked about this before. Tobias's contract is now an asset on coming off the books, so it is a bargaining chip. If they want to explore that option, because we've heard that extensively over the last couple of years about his name, I think that those rumors will not go away when they're looking to upgrade the roster and flexibility. They may have to take on a contract. Daryl will have to, but to upgrade the way they want to upgrade, if you lose Harden, and you have the ability to, you know, kind of find some maneuvering. Because Daryl's in a tough spot, man. They don't have a lot of wiggle room. He's got to make some tough decisions, I think, in the next 2 months.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. It really is. Dalvin Cook released by Minnesota. And, you know, I tell you, Kev, it's just another example, illustration on how the running back has just been completely devalued.
It goes back to the banner read philosophy, right? And you were like, what, really? And you're 100% right. It goes back to my man, great friend and colleague, Mel Kiper's idea of where to draft running backs. And I know we were fascinated with Bijan. He's a phenomenal talent. Plug and play immediately and boom, like the guy's going to give you 12 to 1,500 yards and catch the ball. It's just where is that growth here after that first contract? And Dalvin's going through that. Dalvin's a pretty good running back, especially him catching the ball from the out of the backfield. It's just if they didn't make the DeAndre Swift trade, then okay. But, like, there's no way. Why would Dalvin Cook want to come here? Well, I know you guys briefly talked about DeAndre Hopkins. These guys want to get one more deal. And there is no way you're going to get a deal in here. That means we're set up in a good spot because we have depth at both positions. And that's not something we discussed before in the past, right? So I think the Eagles, it just shows you how well Howie has built this team. And then it shows you the idea and that concept that has carried over through the years about running backs. Let's not forget all the moves that Howie did in building that running back room. And during that Super Bowl run, right? You get Blunt, the power, and I think you got the same thing with Penny, right? And then you make the trade with Miami, and you have some little speed there. Like, I think Howie's putting the whole thing together the right way, as usual.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I mean, people talk about DeAndre Hopkins. I just don't see it. I mean, if anything, he probably goes back. He should go to Kansas City, but... You know, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, there's just no, you can't have three of those guys. They just can't coexist.
No, it doesn't make sense. And let's not forget, it's Dallas Goedert, too. You can put him in that big three, right? Like, because Goddard's going to have a lot of catches. When healthy, his production is just going to continue to grow. So where is the football? Like, how many do we have on the field? It doesn't make sense. And I think people are enamored with DeAndre Hopkins from what DeAndre Hopkins did you know, a few years back in Houston, and maybe that first year in Arizona. He's not going to – A.J. Brown was phenomenal, and Devontae Smith is trending up each and every year. Why are we taking
away – Yeah, I actually think Devontae's an underrated player.
100% agree with you.
Like we don't talk enough about that. A.J.'s A.J., right, because he's a big personality, the whole thing too. But I think Devontae Smith is – I mean, he's a great receiver.
Yes, and you know why I think we undervalue him? Because he's reliable, and he just does his job, and he does not make – he doesn't make it about him. And when – sometimes we have seen that with wide receivers. Shoot, look at 81, you know, 15 years ago. When you make it about you, your immediate mind goes to that wide receiver. Devontae is – just, hey, I go to work, I make the catches, the most difficult ones, I get up, I get back in the huddle.
You're right.
Him. And again, he's ascending. He's going to continue to get better, and AJ has made him even better because he's giving him these one-on-one matchups that he didn't have that rookie season.
Oh, totally. No, I think you're spot on there. Do you miss the running back? Because when we were talking about we're kids growing up, I mean, if you were – running backs were top five. They were like quarterbacks. Like, they always went top five.
Yep.
And it was a big deal. And every team had their 25-carry-a-game guy. Then, now it's always a split. You know, you're going to split your carries.
100%. It's just – and – listen, I grew up as – I was a Wilbert Montgomery guy. I had the Wilbert jersey and everything. And we all know what he did in that 81 NFC Championship game against the Cowboys. And he was incredible. Then we went through a spurt for many years. I mean, drafting Keith Byers, Michael Haddix didn't work out. And Byers, obviously
– Anthony Tony. Look at the horrible Tony. Backs.
Ernest Jackson.
Oh, God, he was horrible. The Steelers, yeah.
Ruby Oliver. Oh, I can go down God. This whole list of some guys you're like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Haddix, too. Oh, Haddix was terrible.
Oh, it wasn't good. And then Ricky Waters, we tried to make that work. And the Charlie Gardner and the, Carell Buckhalter. Westbrook was the guy that it was like, okay, this is the new definition of what a running back can do. He can do every single thing. He's not going to just carry the football. You catch the football, and it's like a handoff with Andy's offense. And I thought the Eagles really got everybody ready for that. And it's sad. You know, I grew up with the Barry Sanders being, what, a top five pick. And, you know, but we've also seen the Kajana Carters. You know, the Blair Thomases, and I don't mean to just bring up Penn State running. Yeah. The Reggie Bushes, right? Like, we've seen top five running backs drafted, and the sustainability just, I mean, here's a perfect example. Look at what Austin Eckler is doing with L.A. The man is making $6.5 million, and he is a workhorse of all workhorse running backs. He does everything, and he couldn't get a new deal. Like, no matter what, like, they gave him some incentive, late deal, but, like, to make an extra couple $1 million. But, like, Austin Eckler is the perfect example of this new NFL. You do literally everything, you won't get rewarded no matter what at that position.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They're never going to do that. And you kind of understand, you know what's funny, too? And we should have realized this long before the new NFL came about. But if you go back to it, right, like the greatest running backs never really won.
No.
OJ didn't win.
Yep.
Walter Payton only wins because of the defense. Let's face it.
Yes. Yep. 100%.
All those other guys, Eric Dickerson and Nigerian Nightmare and Billy Sims. Remember all those?
Emmett won because he was obviously a great running back, but they also had an incredible line, and Jimmy Johnson knew what he was doing, like 100% across the board. The only case I will ever make where a running back puts you over the top is Terrell Davis, because Elway made it to three Super Bowls, never had a consistent running attack, and then the minute Terrell Davis was there and Elway was on the back end of his career, he carried the team, right?
Yeah, those two Super Bowls were because of him.
100%. A perfect example of understanding that the running back was changing is look what Washington did during their Super Bowl runs. Riggins, of course. But in the 90s, when they were winning those Super Bowls, they obviously had different quarterbacks, you know, Ripken and all that, or Rippin, I should say.
Yeah.
Like, they also had a Kimmy Smith, you know, Jeff Williams did a great job, but they found a way because of that offensive line dictating things, right? And what was the theme with the Eagles when it was the offensive line dictating things? And that is what we've seen consistently. The line's got to look at this perfect example. Look at the Brady run and those years, right? Because they didn't have a consistent running back. And then the Chiefs lose to Tom Brady and the Bucks. One of the reasons why is because there was no offensive line for Patrick Mahomes in that game. So the line is
right. They lost both tackles in that game. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing. And even with the way Brady used the backs, there were more weapons out of the backfield.
100%. You know, we can go back and you know, I may be missing, but Bettis is probably the one because Roethlisberger was a rookie and that first year when they won in Detroit. And then Jamal Lewis, remember him with the Ravens?
Yeah, the Ravens.
He's another example. But it is really tough to find a workhorse running back over the last 20 years where it's like, that's going to be the key to success. And, you know who went through it over the last 5 years? Saquon Barkley and the Giants. Phenomenal talent.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if Saquon was drafted in the 80s and 90s, he would have been a superstar. The whole league would be based around him. But the league has changed so much on what the priorities are, and it's no longer about the Barry Sanders or the Walter Paytons or the Emmitt Smiths or Eric Dickerson, like you mentioned. It's just quarterbacks, and then who's making that slice of the pie now? Wide receivers, because that's their best friend of the quarterback.
Yeah, to me, the wideouts are incredible, really, when you think about it.
Yes, it is.
You know, like those wideouts, like how, and it's funny because you look at the Eagles and, you know, skill guys, let's be real, like you bring up running backs. I mean, you mentioned Wilbert, Westbrook, Shady McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really it. Like Keith Byers was more of a, he was almost a hybrid tight end.
Totally. That's a great example. He was like the first hybrid tight end. You're 100% right. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up Shady. That Shady was that one that I was missing when we were going along the lines through the years.
Yeah. So the other thing, real quick, sobering thought. We're talking to the great Kevin DeGondi, ESPN, ABC, hometown hero. How about we were talking about the Sixers. And we were talking about, like, can you come up with a top 15, like, all-time great Sixer? You can't.
You mean top 15, like, all-time great Sixer when we talk about the greatest NBA players of all time?
Like, yeah, like you talk about the greatest Sixers, right? Your list ends almost before 10.
Oh, wow. Tell me who's on that list.
All right, so think about it. This was our sobering thought, and this goes over because we were talking about 40 years since the title. So Iverson, Doc, Moses, Barkley, Embiid, Mo Cheeks, Andrew Toney, Iguodala, Doug Collins.
Well, wow. Okay, yep.
I mean, you know, again, we're going from Wilt on, so Wilt, you know, you could put Will, I guess, but we're doing it since the 40 years of the title.
Yeah, it's we've went through some lean years, man. Like,
I mean, Maxey's a top 10. He's a top 10 Sixer the last 40 years.
Oh, wow. Wow. I mean, when you put it like that, like, oh, man, and it's really hard to argue, you know, especially you got Iguodala, of course. Bobby Jones, you can make a case.
I got Bob. I got Jones. I got Bobby Jones on this, yeah.
Hey, Hersey Hawkins.
Hawkins, really?
I know. But if you're going to bring up Moses, could you bring up Dikembe? But Dean was not here long enough, right?
And he wasn't that good.
No, he was a blocker by that time. Yeah,
I mean, you know, he's here. You know, gets you 11 boards, 3 blocks, but he wasn't that good. You weren't going, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, this is 40 years.
Billy Cunningham, you're right. It does go a long way, and it just. I wasn't trying to get depressed today, but you're.
No, I'm sorry, buddy. You know. This is what happens when we're left to our own device in June without, you know, because all we're doing right now is waiting for football season so we can we have all these conversations that we get involved in.
And you could go Hal Greer, but, I mean, we're getting to the Wilts conversation.
But now you're back to Wilts team, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, really, I'm talking since the title, right? So if you take the title team, that era, 40 years, what you got?
Well, think about it. Like, there have only been literally 3 high points in those 40 years. Obviously, you start with the 83 team, and that just run, right? And then you made the run, and then, like, maybe that carries over to the Barkley end of the 80s, but then they found a way to screw it all up by
Jaminski,
Shackelford, and Armie Gilliam, and you're like, what are we doing?
Armie Gilliam.
Harold Katz just destroyed what they had. And then we went through those lean Dana Barrows years to get to Allen Iverson. We had Stackhouse the year before, then get to Iverson, and there was a run. And then, obviously, we went through the process after the Iguodala era. We tried with Andrew Bynum, and then, you know, I hate talking about the process now. I think after this last playoff, I don't want to talk about it anymore. But I will say, listen, it is a crapshoot in the lottery. And the perfect example is look at the Nuggets 2 stars and look where they were drafted. And so we've got to get our heads out of the idea. Lottery. We need a lottery pick to get somewhere. There's a lot of development, a lot of patience. And look, our number 2 guy on this team is a guy that we have so many, I think, just this vision that he could be a foundational player in Tyrese Maxey, and he was outside the top 20. So we've got to look at it that way. We've got to have to adjust our stuff. The way we look at the way the Miami Heat has 7 undrafted players, and many of them are contributing, we've got to get over this. We need a lottery pick. Now, the draft has changed so much, you don't need a lottery pick. You just need patience, and you need really good scouting.
Dude, that's it. You're spot on, buddy. Spot on. My man.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Listen, we love you, brother. As always, so great hanging every, we love it every Thursday. You're the best, Kev.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Here he is, Kevin Negandhi, Comcast Business Hotline. 610-632-0975.
By the way, there's been a lot of Hersey Hawkins love, actually, on social media.
Nah.
A lot of it. Saying that he's got to be in the last 40 years.
Dude, I mean, he was not special.
Neither was a lot of the players in the last 40 years.
Well, that's the point we're making. It's like Jamal says, well, Mutombo won the defensive player of the year. It doesn't matter. He got 10 boards a game. And we blocked 3 shots. I mean, he was what he was. He wasn't Shaq. He wasn't Elijah. We were talking about these guys. If you're going to be have a top 10 40 years, like if we did the Celtics, could you imagine what that list looks like?
Yeah, that'd be hard, actually.
Correct.
You'd have to knock guys off.
Right?
We're looking to find people.
I know. It's scary. All right, 610-632-0975, Cuz Radio, Tunis, right here, 97.5, The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, 12:55. Oh, man. We're crazy. No, because there's forest fires in Canada, that's bringing down the air quality for a couple days, you know, it's not a political division.
I'm going to go out there and suck in the air. That'll show them.
Like, nobody's telling you, like, you know, you can't, it's just like, hey, look, if you have respiratory stuff or allergies or whatever, just watch yourself outside. That's all.
And they've also said,
why is that got to be a big political fight? Like, what, how is that? How is the air quality in your head and fake?
Dude, I don't know.
I mean, these people come out with stuff are just out of their minds.
And I will say, I don't have asthma, right? I, it's not like I was panting when I was outside, but, you know, you feel the tickle, your eyes start getting scratchy. I can only imagine people who do have asthma and respiratory issues.
Yeah, listen.
It's smoke!
Yeah. Listen, it's an abnormality, right? There so happen to be these uncontrolled, you know, wildfires up north. The winds blow it down here. Because that's how it works. And then, you know, it's just a couple days. And people have to admit that it doesn't happen all the time. So the red hue and the smoky smokiness. So it's like, wow, like, you know, it's Mother Nature. And it's interesting, you know, listen, it's dangerous or whatever before you breathe in stuff. But that's why people are talking about it.
There's no vaccines involved here.
Nobody's telling you to, you know, shut down. Come on.
That's why I was confused.
It's just a unique situation.
There were people upset that the Phils didn't play yesterday. Like, take it easy, man.
Oh, my God.
Like, it's okay that the one day of baseball doesn't happen.
How crazy is that? You can't cancel. Well, listen, it's probably not good for the players to be outside.
Not
breathing in this stuff.
Hey, you want to be outside? You do you. That's fine.
Yeah,
but it's like this. Like you said, how did this become political?
Dude, people are out of their minds.
It's smoke in the air.
Yeah. So yeah,
from forest fires.
I don't know about you, but when it first started. And I went outside of my house and I smelled it. And I'm like, I was like looking for something in the neighborhood. I was looking up.
Hey, looking for a bonfire.
Right. It was like, someone around here, or God forbid. You start to think that. Let's go to Bill. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Billy.
Hey, cuz. Hey, Judas. How you doing today, guys?
What do you say, Bill? What's going on, my brother?
I got a name for you, and this is actually two names for your like enforcers in hockey here, and it's going to blow your mind. I'm going to give you the name Boogeyman. What comes to mind? Does the name come to mind?
The Boogeyman.
The Boogeyman, Derek Bogard.
Oh, my God. We want to talk about a bust out.
A bust out? They think the dude only played it, like, what, 5-6 years in the league, and... Here's the other name I'm going to throw in with him. It's a former Flyer. He caused some major damage to Todd Fedoruk.
Oh, Fedoruk. Wow.
He shattered Fedoruk's jaw. His teeth. Right? And this dude is a bad mother father because he forced George LaRocque. You remember George LaRocque?
Yes.
Right? Forced him to retire. He was afraid to fight him.
Really?
Yeah, and you're talking 6'5", 285 there. Yeah, granted, he's at the end of his career, but he had so much anxiety about the guy, he didn't want to fight him. So,
oh, my God.
Absolutely, guys. Yeah, absolutely.
And oh, my God, that is wild.
He was just a guy. He was a fellow, you know, it's a sad story, you know, about him. You know, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Punched Out.
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's a movie about him, his life. And it's kind of sad through everything he went through about the life of an enforcer. And I'll tell you, he's like hands of stone. You talk about, boxing, Roberto Duran. This dude had hands of stone in hockey, hands down, in my opinion.
6'7", 265.
Yeah, yeah.
From from Saskatoon.
Saskatoon. Bad mother, father there, you know.
That's horrible. He died at 28 years old.
Troubled, but, you know.
Drug and alcohol. That's horrible.
Yeah, alcohol and drugs, unfortunately.
Yeah,
I'm on here. I'd like to say hi to Tunis, too, a fellow alumnus from Clearview.
Let's go Pioneers.
Go View.
Yeah, brother. Class 82 here. A little older. Yeah, I'm a little older. But, yeah, so, yeah, they were my couple guys in there. And I put them right up there with Probert and McSorley.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I got Probert, man. I hadn't thought about in a long time. He actually could play a little bit, too.
Absolutely. And you know, when you were going back to Schulze, you know, when Schulze was in the minors, he was actually a player.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that.
The dude could actually play. And they, you know, Flyers brought him up, and, you know, that's the time. That's my time. That was a great time in hockey, you know? I mean, that was good stuff. I loved it. You know, it's changed a lot, but hey, like everything else does. And here, you got a couple more minutes here. I got a couple crossovers for you. If you got it.
Well, we're up against it, but quick, hit me.
Ken Shamrock and Dan.
Yeah, we had that yesterday,
And Severn, MMA and WWE.
Yeah, we had Ken Shamrock yesterday. Listen, great stuff, brother. Great call, man. Make sure you call again. I got a yo, Tunis.
Because we got a yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
This goes out to Tony the Ref's nephew, Raheem Stevenson. He wants to give him a yo, graduating from Springfield High School. So nice. Congratulations, my man. Way to go, Raheem. All right. Sit tight because you'll get back to your calls in just a minute. But joining us every Thursdays with Braze, director of Fun and Games, with our man, John Brazier, the Fightins. Oh, Braze.
What's up, man?
Well, it feels good to have some wins.
Well, last week when you're talking to me, it was a little tough because I think we had lost five in a row, maybe, or it was something dreadful.
Yeah.
It's a little tough to spin that, but coming off four in a row, the bats even came alive when, you know, the one game where we only had Schwarber's home run to that's on the scoreboard, but we hit the ball. We, in a normal game, that wind was blowing in, and there was four balls that probably would go out in, you know, with no wind. So it's good to see the guys hitting well. I don't know if it's a lineup change. I don't know if it's the Tigers. I don't know what it is, but I know Schwarber knows it's June now, so that's a good thing.
It's uncanny too. We were talking about this the other day. Like, you know, as a baseball, you know, lover of the game, seamhead type, we both go, Tunis and I go, man, I want to see Trey Turner just be lead off, and that's it. And you look at Schwarber, and you go, he's just not a leadoff hitter, except when he's there, he produces.
He really does.
And it's bizarre. And like, it just goes against your sensibilities, but like, what are you going to do? Because he does, for some reason, he responds.
And it is funny when we get Turner, everyone's saying, "Well, Turner's going to be the leadoff hitter, and he'll be the certain lineup." And the fact that you look at the lineup right now that he's run out the last couple of games, Schwarber, Castellanos, Harper, Turner, right? So who would have thought Turner would be that cleanup hitter?
I know.
And Castellanos, coming, you know, now having a great year, is batting second. But you know what? I guess it's all about where you're comfortable in what spot. And Schwarber is very comfortable in that leadoff spot, and Castellanos is doing well at the two spot, and said he likes that. And we'll see. We'll see if this is some results that we'll get.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, man. I know. I just go, it's just bizarre. Any word on the game today?
No word right now. So as far as we can tell, we're still good to go. So we're hoping that's the case. It was weird. I was on the golf course with Mickey Morandini yesterday, and we found out I was going to run back to the ballpark, and it got canceled. Mickey Morandini we had Grateful Dead night last night, supposed to be, and now it's tonight. Mickey was going to be a dancing bear, which is a symbol of the Grateful Dead, was going to go shoot hot dogs in a dancing bear outfit. I had him convinced, which was hard to do, and then all of a sudden the game gets banged, and Mickey can't make it tonight, so there'll be no Mickey Morandini in a dancing
bear. That's a shame. Shooting the dogs.
Right. So, oh, well.
Damn. So let me ask you, it was cool. So Jalen and A.J. Brown taking BP.
Yep, we do this a lot with, you know, all the different teams, and that's, you know, we've talked a lot in about this, is that it's great that all the other teams support each other, and they become fans of the other teams. So we've had the Flyers taking BP, we've had Sixers, and so I know A.J. Brown last year, he threw out a first pitch. And I don't know if I told this story to you, but it's funny. I didn't know at the time last year that he was a 19th round draft pick of the Padres. So I'm giving him my spiel as far as how to throw out the first pitch. You know, make sure I always tell people, you know, it's better to err high than err low. You don't want to go into the ground because then you'll get a boo. If you go too high, you get an ooh. You'd rather have an ooh than a boo, blah, blah, blah. I'm telling him all this. And then
I'm
warming up with him in the tunnel, like inside, and I throw one and it hits like an underhang of this ceiling, and it almost ricochets. He's like, we're done. So I'm looking, I'm going, oh man, this guy's looking at me like, and then I find out later that he was a draft pick of the Padres, a 19th round draft pick. He ends up throwing, doesn't listen to anything I said, and throws a seed, just boom, perfect pitch. And then, I got a call from the Eagles about a month ago. Hey, Jalen and AJ want to come down and take batting practice. So talk to Rob Thompson, talk to Kevin Long, talk to, you know, all the coaches, make sure it's cool with them. And they came out at 3:00. All of our players came out, Schwarber and Harper and Stott and those guys. They went there. They're hanging out with those guys. And then they get all in around the cage because they want to see how these guys do as well. AJ hit 4 bombs.
He did?
Bombs. Oh, yeah. And it was funny because I was
he's like Koch.
Yeah, and I was listening to some of the guys, and they were saying, this guy, you can tell he's a legitimate ball player, just in the way he hits inside the baseball and blah, blah, blah. And then Jalen gets in the cage, and Jalen was more of a line drive guy. He wasn't – he hit that warning track, but he was more going for the line, long, you know, line drives. And I tell you what, man, it just shows that, you know, to get to that level in any sport, whether it's football, baseball, these guys are just remarkable athletes, and it just showed right there. I mean, look at JT Realmuto. JT was one of the most highly recruited quarterbacks coming out of Oklahoma. His uncle was one of the most storied wrestlers, and he probably could have been one of the, you know, great wrestlers of all time. And then obviously he's one of the best catchers in the game. So these guys just have ridiculous talent, and you can see that with Jalen.
But baseball, you know, it's funny because baseball's the one sport that it's different, right? Because it's not completely athleticism, but the skill involved in the game, right? Yep. Like, you know, being able to throw, being able to hit a baseball, you know, it's a different type of skill. Like, you almost, like, it doesn't surprise me, A.J. Brown, with that pedigree, then you know that he's, you know, he's legit. But it's, you know, the fact that Jalen took BP and had a nice swing, because I've seen a million guys that,
same thing,
you
know, they
can't swing. You know how many times do you see guys come over and they can't, they look awkward. They can't throw. Some basketball guys, they can't throw. They can't swing a bat. They look weird doing it.
I threw to Stone Cold Steve Austin back in the 90s, and he was just too big. He couldn't get around on the ball. Yeah, we've had everything from Dwight Howard to on and on. We've had a lot of actors, Bradley Cooper. But yeah, I tell you what, you know who's one of the best players I've ever seen, non-baseball players, celebrities, have gone to batting cage. And I'm telling you right now, Miles Teller is a phenomenal baseball player, like really good.
Well, he played ball. I was talking to his dad.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't play that high school, but he, really good athlete.
Right, like my point is that he played in high school. Like, he was a legitimate player.
Yeah, totally legitimate.
I mean, his dad's actually a good player. I was talking to his dad. He's a big baseball fan, his dad.
Yeah, Miles and Arrieta got in a hitting challenge down in the cage. I was down there, and they were cranking it up to like 95 miles per hour, and Miles Teller had no problem getting around on a 95 mile per hour pitch from the pitching machine.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's
so, no, it was great. Awesome. It was great having Jalen. Again, as a Philly fan and as an employee of the Phillies, it was so cool to see just, you know, again, Jalen and AJ hanging out, talking sports. They had all these questions to them. They had, you know, they had questions back. So I'd love to take our guys over to the NFL to, I'd love to see me Schwarber.
Howie will let you go. Howie loves that stuff.
Yep.
Howie would bring you to camp. Listen. Dude, that stuff's, I agree. You know, we always talk about it as being, you know, as Philadelphians, how much we love the whole thing. Like the, when it's 4-for-4, 5-for-5 now, obviously with the union, it's new, it's different. So when all these teams are together, I love it. It's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, you're totally right. So, but yeah, we got a game tonight, Ant. We got that makeup with the Tigers, and we got Zach Wheeler mound. So hopefully we'll, you know, I know he's coming off that tough outing, but I think he's going to.
I know Washington. Tonight. He pitched so well against Atlanta.
Right, yep, totally.
You know.
Yeah, he went 8 innings, gave up 3 hits and had 12 Ks versus Atlanta, yeah. And then goes against the Nets. That's the beauty of baseball, that you never know what you're going to get. They've got a guy that actually pitched, I think, in that bullpen game a couple days ago. So, and then we got the Dodgers for 3, and that's going to be a great series because we've got, first of all, we missed Kershaw, which is good. We're going to have all 3 games starting tomorrow. Tomorrow is limited tickets available. Saturday's a sellout. Sunday, we only have standing room only. So we're going to have packed houses for all 3 games.
I love that.
You got Suarez going tomorrow night. You got Nola.
He's pitching well.
Yep, he kept coming off great out. 2 good outings. Nola's coming off the great outing versus Detroit. Afternoon game on Saturday. And then you got Sunday, Taiwan Walker, who's coming off a great outing himself, going up against Arias. And Arias normally is, you know, one of the best pitchers in the game. But right now he's got a 7.61 ERA on the road, so let's hope we can keep that number there or even go higher. So should be a fun weekend.
Hey, when did the Reds come in? They come in fairly soon.
Are you saying De La Cruz?
Yes, I love baseball. Right, and one of the things I love about baseball is I love the prospect, like the highly touted prospect.
Yep.
And the Reds had this kid, Ellie De La Cruz. And De La Cruz hit a home in his first home run last night. He's like an electric type of player.
He crushed the ball, too. And
440 feet.
Yeah, and he's not shy about it either. He was doing a little, put it this way, if he was playing in the era of Nolan Ryan or Bob Gibson, they'd be, he'd have some new mouthwash next time he faced those guys. So, I guess the good news is, it's bad news, good news. Bad news is we won't see him in the ballpark because we played them opening weekend.
Yeah.
Good, because I don't know if I want to see that, but at the same time, I guess it would be fun to watch a young player like that.
Yeah, yeah. You like the prospect. The prospect is one of the great things of baseball.
Love it. Yep, especially when someone comes up and starts performing really well. I mean, look at Hoskins. When Hoskins came up, I mean, how exciting was that, right?
He gets good. Oh, my God, the home runs. Every
complete run.
I remember talking about must-see at-bats.
Yep, or Chase Elliott, his first at-bat, right? I think his first hit was a home run, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. J-Roll was exciting when he came up, so it is fun when you have the prospects come through.
Yeah, it's a good time. Hey, listen, Brace, great stuff. Let's go beat the Dodgers, all right?
All right, Ant.
Keep the streak going, man. Good ball.
You got it, buddy. Go Phils.
Go Phils. Here he is, our man John Brazier, director of Funny Games for the Fightins. We'll come back, and still one more segment. We got all your calls. We're gonna talk to everybody. We see you, Firewood King, Fat Cat, Uncle Frank, Roger, Nikki. We got you. We look forward to it. Cuz Radio Choo 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 Chooness. 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
75 The Fanatic.
All right, 1:22 on this Thursday. Always love hanging with you guys. Cuz Radio Tunis. Did you see this, Tunis? That Inter Miami coming to Philadelphia on the 24th.
Yeah, I saw Kevin Kincaid from Crossing Broad posted the StubHub link, and there was the big red letters, wording saying this is selling fast. So now all of a sudden people are ready to go to the game.
What is Messi coming to the MLS do? Because I think it's I'm excited. Like, I want to see him play. To get to see one of the historic players ever?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, you went to go see Miggy the other day.
I did, yeah. So, a couple buddies of mine, well, I told you the story. My buddy Jimmy, poor Jimmy, went to games from 2007 to 2011, and every time he went, Kyle Kendrick was on the mound, or Joe Blant was on the mound, or they had a spot starter. He never saw the horses, right? He never saw the aces. And he went the other night, and Dylan Covey, with all due respect to Dylan Covey, was on the mound. He was kind of disappointed. So we were like, all right, let's make a point to go to a game where it's Nola or Wheeler or Suarez. And I wanted to go to the Tigers game because I wanted to see Miguel Cabrera. It's his last year, and I just wanted to say that I was able to see Miggy one more time. He looked terrible, dude. Like, you know, he's rolling grounders to shortstop and barely running 45 feet before the ball got to the first baseman. But I got to see Miggy one more time. Messi, I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal.
And whether he's losing it or not, you know, you still want to see the guy play and say that you saw him. How many people went to, well, obviously the Eagles games are always sold out, but how many people bought tickets the last time the Bucks were in town just to see Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Like non-season ticket holders bought, probably paid extra money to see Tom Brady because there was thoughts that it was his final year.
Thanks to my man, Michael. Michael says, just an FYI on Messi, the rumors are he won't be playing with Miami until August.
Oh, be careful.
I would love to see him play.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know what I can't wait for, and I will do whatever I can in my power to get a ticket. I can't wait for the World Cup to be here.
Oh my God, yeah.
I make no bones about it. I'm not the biggest soccer fan. Like, I love the World Cup because I love when it comes to countries. Like, I love that country pride. But I would love to see a World Cup game. And it's going to be in Philly in a couple of years.
I would love it. And I know that our good friend, Vince from Philly Sports Chips, is working on that.
That's awesome.
So, real quick, Brian on Twitter says, you guys are leaving out on this in the Sixer list, Kyle Korver and Chris Webber. Chris Webber was horrible here.
Nobody liked Chris Webber.
He sucked. He was done.
I liked Kyle Korver.
Oh, but Korver wasn't a top 10. He's not a top 10. Korver? Come on. I'm talking about how we don't have that. If we're going to go with a strong top 10 in 40 years, Kyle Korver? Come on. We're just scraping the bottom of the peanut butter jar for that.
Yeah, those no.
And Webber wasn't, by the way, when he came here, he was done.
I go EB before I go Webber, and even
so
EB.
Do I.
Even EB.
I go EB over Webber all day when it comes to that. Yeah, no good on no good.
It's just crazy. Like, we love that Iverson team. But was anybody else on that list?
No, because no Aaron, no East Snow. I mean, again,
George Lynch, Jumaine Jones.
If you're going to talk
Geiger.
About a top 10, 40 years, that the whole point was it's pretty thin. And that Maxey makes the top 10. Right? He makes the top 10. Because if you look at it, I wrote it, Iverson, Embiid, no particular order. Iverson, Embiid, Barkley, Doc, Moses, Andrew, Mo Cheeks, Bobby Jones, Iguodala, and then Maxey.
Yeah, that's kind of bare, man.
I mean, who takes Maxey's spot?
Well, I mentioned, not Maxey's spot, but I mentioned there's been a lot of Hersey Hawkins love. If we're going 15, there's been Hawkins love. Schultz, he checks in. Bobby Jones, Hal Greer, Dolph Schayes, strictly basing
no, again,
my
since
dad's
the,
loves.
Again,
right, last 50 years.
It's since the title. We're going title. It all started because you said, Junis, 40 years.
40 years.
And it got me thinking on, oh, God, 40
seen a lot
years.
Of bad players. You could come up with an all-stank team. It is easier to come up with an all-stank team than an all-pro team with the Sixers.
Yeah. Yes. All day.
How many stiffs played for the Sixers over the 40 years?
Oh, my God. I mean, Gabe hits me with the G-Man. Oh, the G-Man. Top 10? Oh.
And there's stiffs from the Sixers. Like, you could take away the process players.
Right.
And you had bad play. That's when they were losing on purpose.
Yes.
And there's still been bad players.
I'm with you. Dude, by the way, did you see this? You and I did not talk about this. Vince told me about this. Phillies next year playing in England.
Yeah, with, I forget who they're playing, Dodgers?
Yeah, something
yeah, because
like
it's I'm pretty sure it's Phillies-Dodgers because Chase Utley, remember, moved out to England
right.
to help promote the game of baseball, so it makes sense that it's Phillies-Dodgers, his old squad.
I mean, that's a must-see series, is it not?
That's cool, yeah, it's cool.
Now you're like, yeah, it's cool.
No, I'm in. I wonder what, where was it earlier this year? There was the series, the lines were like 22.5, the run total. Was it in Mexico?
It was Mexico.
Yeah.
Was it the altitude?
Right. I wonder what it would be like in England. Obviously, a lot different, but.
Well, the ball is not going to travel.
Right.
A heavy air. I'd love to see that. That would be a fascinating.
No, I mean, they're really, really cool.
Right?
It's cool to be there, though.
Well, that's my point. It's the Mets. Two games.
The
series.
Mets? Okay.
Dude, I want to go. I you would love to go.
Well, I would love to go and experience it, yes.
Yeah.
I thought you meant when you said must see, like must
he's
watch
running
TV.
Trips. He was running trips to Premier League. And I like, that's another thing. I would love to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's a bucket list to see a big. I really, especially over the last, decade, getting into the World Cup and getting into a lot of the EPL soccer. I love the Serie A and all that European soccer. I'd love to see a game in Europe. That has to be like an incredible. That's a bucket list thing.
Well, I've told you, just not even at a game. When I was in Lithuania for both of the last World Cups, obviously soccer's different out there. And Lithuania's not even a good, in terms of talent-wise, a good soccer country. They're big fans. And I was there for, I forget who Russia was playing, but obviously Lithuania and Russia, not the best of friends, for obvious reasons. And it was like when Russia went down, they lost, or they were down 1-0 or something, everybody went nuts, man. It was like the Eagles scored a touchdown.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, dude, it's different out there.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I'd like to check
and
that out.
And that was at a park. I was at a park that they had, a big screen. It was like a big projector screen.
Yeah, that's
with
awesome.
With, like, beer vendors. It was awesome. Like, it was such a cool event. Imagine going to a park with beer vendors and you're watching the Phils game.
Yeah. Is it a violation on Massimo to wear my shirt?
No.
It's down to past his knees.
Oh.
And then he takes the knees and then he wraps his feet in the knees that stretches out the shirt.
That might be a violation, yes. I've stolen my dad's jerseys before.
It looks adorable, so I don't even say anything, So that's how it works. Let's go to Raj. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Roger.
Andy, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
I got a couple of guys that are going to go a long way back. The only guys like my age will remember them. But one of the baddest hockey players ever was Gordie Howe.
Okay.
Gordie Howe is famous for putting a Ranger defenseman, their version of a Ty Domi. His name was Lou Fontanato. And he was their enforcer, their number one guy. And he and Lou got into it one night at the Garden. And they carried Lou off on a stretcher, unconscious. And they took him across the street to St. Clair's Hospital and they put his face back together.
Oh, my God. And that's Gordie Howe?
That Gordie Howe.
And that's, you could always think Gordie Howe is a skilled, great player, but he was a bad mother father, huh?
Yes, he was. There was a story about some rookie playing against him for the first time, and there's this kid lining up next to him, and they were at the line waiting for the puck to drop. The kid keeps wrapping the stick, and after a couple of times, Gordy just looked, you know, without even looking up, just says to the kid, "You do that again, I'll take your eye out." Was wow. One bad dude when you pissed him off, you were gonna go down. You were gonna lose.
Oh, that's cool.
He was just tough as hell. Cool. The other guy no respect for a lot of things, but he finally got to the Hall of Fame last year, Gil Hodges. The Dodgers, I was about 8, maybe 9 years old, watching the Dodgers and the Giants at Ebbets Field, and, well, somebody got some chin music. They didn't like it. Both benches emptied out, and here they are at home plate duking it out.
And oh, really? Gil Hodges was a bad dude?
Oh, God, no. Gil Hodges, you know, picked up Willie Mays and put him on the side, and he said, "You don't need to be in there, son." And after the game, one of the beat writer for the Dodgers said, "So what did Gil Hodges say to you?" And he did exactly what I just said. And he said, "The biggest pair of hands I ever felt in my life were across my chest and I couldn't move." So, you know, this is a guy that, you know, like, that there is space about Gil Hodges. His hands were so big, nobody knew why he wore a glove.
That's awesome.
So, that's my contribution. But I got to tell you what, somebody mentioned Bob Gibson. One game for my life. Gibson's a pitcher.
Really?
He's most competitive, incredible man. I mean, when he won a World Series ring on 3 days rest, this wow. is a guy who pitched his, that plate was his. He owned that 17 inches. And if you violated that, you were going to get hit. And Bill White used to be his roommate when they were in St. Louis. And White got traded. And the first time he faced him, he hit him. So he held over to him and said, "I used to be your roommate. Why'd you hit me?" He said, "That's right. You used to be my roommate."
Oh, that's a badass. That's a badass move right there.
He wouldn't talk. Joe Torre's a rookie catcher in the All-Star game. He goes over to Gibson to talk to him about what they want to do. Gibson never looked up at him, and he just never answered him. So
wow.
He just said, "Okay, I guess what I'm just going to do is put the glove down. He'll throw what he wants to throw, and I'm just going to be hope. I hope I can catch it." So oh, he was awesome. He was a very bad dude. You know, a great athlete. I think he played at Wichita, and
that's good. That's good base. I love your knowledge. Good stuff, my brother. That's good. That's good old school knowledge right there. Uncle Frank on the line. Uncle Frank.
Happy Thursday, my squad.
How are you doing, my brother?
Hey, I wake up. I'm great. Hey, Anthony, how's Andrew looking over there? How's he doing?
He's doing good. Why?
Is he looking zapperish? Happy
Thursday. Nah, you're good.
Whoops. Listen.
How long is this call going to go if they're already setting this up?
Look, the last guy got his full 4 minutes. I want mine. Canadian. All right, I was going to comment on the Canadian Wi-Fi, but it just seems it's crazy. It seems apocalyptic, doesn't it, Sam?
It does.
Anthony, you were talking about exorbitant food prices the other day. Well, and you probably know this. How about pool chemical prices? They have soared.
It's the whole world.
It's, you know, I'm on fixed income there, Andrew. So, one of the original mother humpers, right? Mother fathers was Deacon Jones. He invented.
Oh, really?
Oh, Andrew, did you ever watch him? He invented the head slap. He would put small, like metal plates in his pads and go upside a tackle's head. Oh, he was just. Before they recorded sacks, I mean, Ray Kinger always said, be the sack king. And here's another one, Dick Buckus. He would hunt you down, and Andrew probably like this. He'd hunt you down, and he'd bite you. He'd bite running backs. It's just, you know, maybe he's from the same genealogy tree as Coach Campbell or something. But that was fierce, with the small pads. Just, God, incredible. Anyway, great show. Thank you, Ben.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, short and sweet.
I thought he was angled for 4 minutes.
That was a good call.
It was very good. It was fantastic.
One of his best.
Yeah. You like succinct. You like short, succinct, and no cursing.
Well, yeah, definitely no cursing. That's number
one. That's what freaks you out.
Well, I mean, it's not that it freaks me out like, oh, no, bad word. I literally can't allow curses on the air.
No, I know. But like we talked about the we talked about the animal.
Yeah, I
and
can't.
His propensity to curse.
Right. I and can't you, let him on live. We could do a recorded thing, and then I'll bleep out all 700 of them, and then we'll play it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I go, oh, no, don't say that, bad word.
No, I'm not saying you're
sweet. The second I get off the air, people go, wait a minute, how do you not curse on the air? Oh, it's part of the job.
Yeah, no, but I wasn't saying you were squeamish.
No.
I'm just talking about just in general.
Yeah, no, you curse, you're out.
The Millie Man says, how much Canadian smoke and funny juice did Uncle Frank consume this morning?
Oh, man, it's almost 2 o'clock.
You know
he's in the bag.
And the Millie Man says he needs some Canadian aspirin in his life right now.
Oh, yeah. You know who's a big fan of the Canadian aspirin?
Bruce Berman.
He could tell you all about it right now.
Understand, tonight is awful in here. Awful. No, it's already awful. I saw this on the schedule, Jets during the Christmas holiday. I took 4... Is at 6 o'clock, knowing what this would be. You know what a do is? It's Canadian aspirin with a little bit of codeine in it, you know, just enough to give you that pop. 222s, do's. I mean, you buy it over the counter up there, you can't hear. It's like $10 up there, but it's like $100 prescription here. So you put it in all the corners of your suitcase. Do you have anything to declare? Oh, no. A? You always hope to have one Blue Jay game a year. You go to the Canadian CVS. It's funny. You have those bottles, 250, you know, count of 222s? Yes, here they are. I'll take 4 of them. And they go, they always go, from the States, eh? Just a little drop. Little 8% codeine, never hurt anybody.
That's amazing.
I still can't believe that was, what was that came from again?
So he
that
was
leaked out or whatever.
Yeah, he was doing I guess it was Monday Night prime time or whatever. And
I'm doing a game, right? Or maybe
yeah. So it was during a commercial, and they always have the cameras rolling, just not live on the air. And I guess somebody leaked it for some reason. God. First off, yeah, violation. Violation on the leaker. Like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah, come on.
I just like, I love, that was one of the first vault clips.
Was it really?
Yeah, because we were doing, what was it? I think it was one of the first days of the vault was the anniversary of ESPN.
Yeah, I remember
that. And when I was digging through the vault, you know, you click on, you would also like this, this Chris Berman thing popped up.
The 8% Cody never hurt anybody.
I love it, man.
Oh, you're from the States, eh?
Hey.
Oh, he's out of his mind. Uncle Frank, in honor of the wildfires, I've been sipping Canadian whiskey all day.
Oh, that's good.
There you go.
Might help.
I thought it improved his call.
Yeah, your throat hurts.
Yeah.
It's all, of course, in your head, though. According to some.
People are crazy. The wildfire smoke's in your head. It's not real.
It's not real. That haze that's in your eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the vaccine did it.
It's normal. The red tint that everything has, yellow, that's normal.
Yeah, screw you, Pfizer. I'm seeing yellow. Well, man.
Firewood King. What's happening, Firewood King?
Hey, yo, good, how you doing? It's been a little while since I talked to you,
What's happening, Firewood?
My back on the other station, I won the MTIT. I don't know if you remember me, We met and we hung out at the World Series Trophy,
The Mitchie Tools Invitational Tournament. The MTIT!
That's outrageous.
Right. That's right. What's
up, brother? How you been, man? I'm doing good. I listen to you every day. It's hard to call in all the time, but, man, I love listening to you. And the tunis. it's been good. But I got to tell you something real quick.
Yeah.
It's Embiid. He's got to go. He's got so much class in his jaw, he ought to be a chandelier. Oh, man, it's good to talk to you, cuz.
You are fantastic. Tunis, he won the tournament. He was amazing in this tournament. It was the Mitchie Tools. You remember Mitchie Tools, Tunis?
I do.
And Mitchie Tools used to do a Scarface imitation, and it was horrible. And so we decided to create an imitation, like a tournament, off of doing impressions. And the Firewood King was the man. Classic, brother.
And it was so good to meet you, and we hung out at the trophy and everything. I'll start calling in a lot more, but I do have a couple things for a couple entries. Are you doing any fictional characters?
So, yes, that's going to be for the other, right, for the Bad Mother Fathers. So we're working simultaneous. We have the sports bracket, and then we're going to have the, movie TV. So we already started with that one. Who do you have for the fictional one?
All right, fictional, Happy Gilmore. I'm the only guy that ever tried to take my skate off and stab somebody.
You got beat up by Bob Barker.
Yeah.
You can't be tough and get beat up by Bob Barker.
Fair enough. But
Price is wrong, bitch.
Bob had a good right.
I put Barker ahead of Happy.
Yeah, no, he did. But I think Happy took it easy on him.
Yeah, I do too.
I'll go with Ty Cobb from Field of Dreams. Hey, Ty Cobb wanted to play, but we all couldn't stand the SOB.
That's right. He was a hateable figure, Cobb.
And he literally would put his spikes up, sliding to second base to hurt people on purpose. So I'm going to go with Ty Cobb. Bob Gibson, the other core, put that one in. So that's where I'm going.
You got him, my brother. So good to hear from you, buddy. Take care of yourself. What a pleasure.
Actually, a pleasure. Not the only Ty Cobb mention. I got one on Twitter earlier. I'm trying to find.
I got a couple Cobbs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cobb was a bad dude. He was a nasty dude. Not a nice guy, the Cobb.
You can't go Happy Gilmore losing to Bob Barker.
Yeah. Man. Yeah.
Now, he did beat up the alligator.
He got more glass than in a chandelier.
Okay.
More glass in his jaw than a chandelier. That's great. That's fabulous. Let's go to the fat cat. Oh, fat cat. What's happening, buddy?
What's up, brother?
What's going on, fat cat?
Dude, what's going on? I almost crashed my damn car when June says we could think of the six-inch spank team. Oh, there was some bums on that team.
But a lot of bums. A lot of bums.
Yes. You know who the number one bum was? BDB.
Who's that?
You know who BDB is?
Who?
Benny the Bum.
Benny.
Ben Simmons.
Benny the Bum. He's a bum.
Yeah.
It is what it
is. Thank you, Bum. I hated him at LSU, too. But look, I don't know if anybody said one of my all time favorite running backs, Earl Campbell.
Ah, big Earl Campbell.
Earl Campbell used to drag the whole team, brother.
Yeah, those were the days of the backs, right? Like the '80s, nineties. You had those big backs.
Yes. I saw this special on him. He said he had 16 knee surgeries.
Damn.
And he uses two canes to walk. And he said if he could do it all over, he would run out of bounds a whole lot more.
Do you remember that they used to get on Tony Dorsett for running out of bounds?
Yeah.
Remember that? Yes, it won't take a hit to get the extra couple yards. He would go out of bounds.
Yes, he would.
Now it's funny because now guys do it all the time because you look to protect yourself.
Marco Murray slid.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
He used to slide. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, fat cat.
All right,
cat.
Guys. Great you're show. The man. I gotta get ready to go. I've been holding on.
Oh, all right. Well, listen, we love you, fat cat. You know that. Take care of yourself.
Remember when Miles Sanders ran out of bounds?
Yeah.
In the 4-minute drill.
Yeah.
You're trying to run clock. He ran out of bounds.
I know. Slide in bounds.
No, dude.
Like, you didn't have to run out of bounds. All you had to do was slide, put your knee down in bounds.
Like, that was a moment where I was like, all right, I'm ready to move on.
Yeah. I thought he'd have a good year last year.
Yeah, and he did. He had a very good year.
You have Hurts. You got the offensive line. You're going to have A.J. Brown and Devontae.
And he was better catching the ball out of the backfield last year. Not, you know, he's not elite, but he was better at it last year. He had a good year last year. And he got paid for it.
Dude, Swift is going to be awesome.
Yeah, he's going to be nice. This offense is going to be ridiculous.
I could see Swift having a big time. You know, think about how that ball gets distributed. Because you got the three big receivers, including Goddard. And you know Swift's going to get a ton of action out of the backfield.
Oh, yeah. How do you defend this team?
With their run game, their line, I mean, they're going to score. They could be the most potent Eagle offense in history.
Yeah, and that's coming off of last year where you could make the case.
Yeah. Well, if you say last year because of the schedule, there wasn't
right.
a great
yeah,
schedule.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, it's a real test this year.
But I could see them eclipsing, breaking all kinds of records.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Another year, 2,000-yard receivers.
I mean, they're a nightmare for DCs. They're a nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, Hurts is a nightmare alone. The stuff he can do with his legs, now all of a sudden you couple legit weapons.
Yeah, and the Swift is interesting.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
And even Penny, if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
That's a nice, that, he could be a nice addition too.
The Howie had another incredible offseason, man.
Yeah. And then my boy from Ohio State. Don't be surprised if he gets a little luck this year, too.
Sermon?
Yep, Trey.
If he dresses. Get a look.
He looks like he could be a – I still think he could be a sturdy back in this league.
Yeah, but if he dresses, I mean, you know they love their Boston Scott.
No, I know, but
Gainwell,
I don't know why.
That's four backs.
Remember, though, they kept him. They kept him. So, you know, it's interesting. All right, that's going to do it for us, everybody. We love you guys. We'll be back. I'll be back a little bit later on for Cousins Corner at 6 o'clock with the Big Brain. And then, we'll, of course, we'll see you in the morning. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. The best show ever coming your way next. We love you guys. Be careful, and we'll see you then.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.